A new week. The only way I would really know is because we were off for 2 days. That's about the only way I would know that any day is different than another day.
I got 2 days off? Sweet.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You were just for Charlie.
I'm just kidding. I'm more than happy. Charlie had a really good episode, I thought.
Nice cover-up.
What?
You're more than happy.
Well, I am happy. I like...
Well, then why don't you go back to doing Eli and Denny and Bob?
I didn't say I was happy doing that one. I'm still listening to it. I wasn't necessarily happy doing it.
How's that coming along, Brandon?
Very well.
Okay.
I think the audio quality is better. So that's good.
That's encouraging.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so much. I was just telling Mark I sent myself probably 20 things on the phone, which is to remind me before the next show. I even got around it looking at those 20 things, so maybe I'll have to come tomorrow. Honestly, there were just so many things to talk about. And, you know, George Bush comes out of nowhere and talks about leaving partisanship behind for to bring us together. You know, I love that he said that, and if Hillary Clinton had said it, I'd feel the same way. I don't understand what's going on. I'm just stunned that partisanship can rise above a pandemic. It's positively mind-blowing to me. And George Bush, by the way, the reason I found out he said the reason I knew he said something was because he was trending on Twitter. And I'm like, oh, shit, did George, you know, something happened to George Bush? Because he's, I think he's a good guy. He wasn't a good president, but he was a good guy.
Yeah.
And of course, it's about him asking us to come together.
Did he call for a national day of blah, blah, blah? I don't know what it's called.
I don't know. You know, it was more blah, blah, blah-ish than I thought it would be. Because I thought, oh, it sounds like a heartfelt message. But it was clearly scripted. It doesn't mean I don't think he was sincere. But, of course, immediately on Twitter, people are just saying, George Bush killed thousands of
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
I mean, just the nastiest things. And some people were really nice and said, you know, I really didn't like him as a president at all, but I thought that was cool. And then Trump was livid because he didn't say this during the impeachment.
Yeah, he wanted a national day of blah, blah, blah on the day the impeachment failed in the Senate.
I don't know.
Whatever. If it makes him happy, great.
I mean, it's one thing to push back against everything that comes against you, but you have to push back against things that aren't even really about you.
A thing?
That's right.
I have to give Trump credit. He made it about him somehow.
Well, I mean, partisan, I guess that's, you know, he's head of one party.
There's an old saying in Tennessee, I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you.
We won't get fooled again.
You can't get fooled again.
Oh, so he did rally that thing together with the line from the Who song, although he got it wrong. Anyway, yeah, I didn't see George Bush's remarks as being directed at Democrats or at Republicans. I thought it was sincere. I thought it would have been nice if it could have been just left alone and accepted, but of course,
I agree.
Couldn't happen. Well, Cinco de Mayo is it Monday?
Monday is May the 4th. May the 4th be with
you. Okay. Tuesday is Cinco is 5. Cuatro de Mayo is Monday. Okay, so we're a day early. Of course, Mesa's celebrating with great Mexican food.
I don't speak Spanish.
I don't know what I would do without Mesa right now because I've been eating a lot of Mesa. And Mark's enjoyed some Mesa.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's great. The flautas. Can't recommend them enough.
Oh, yeah.
The flautas. Que pasa? Que pasa?
I haven't tried the flautas. To celebrate Cinco de Mayo, it's Taco Tuesday, of course. And we're bottling up the mixers to your favorite Mesa margaritas and a few other signature cocktails. Grab a mule mojito flavored margarita or guava dog to go. Guava dog to go. Add booze, shake it, and enjoy. All of Mesa's cocktails are made with
Taco Tuesday!
All of Mesa's cocktails are made with hand-squeezed juices, agave syrup, making them skinny so you can drink more. Take a look at the options and grab yours via Grubhub, Uber Eats, DoorDash, or Postmates. Each bottle serves two. Mule, $4. Guava Dog, $5. Mojito, $6. Flavored Mojito, Peach Strawberry, Blueberry, $7. Traditional Margarita, $7. Well, that's a lot of information. Show us how you're celebrating. Hashtag Cinco at Home, and we'll feature our favorite posts on the Mesa Instagram account. Ooh. And like them on Facebook, and follow Mesa on Facebook. Mesa Tacos.
Taco. You don't want to know. You don't ask it because you don't want to know.
Oh, boy. Okay. And, of course, fajitas.
Lavajas.
And Layla and I love the quesadillas with brisket. Oh, I love those.
Yeah, those are damn good.
With some sour cream.
It's all good.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Can't go wrong.
And thanks, everybody. We've just killed it with Death Wish Coffee. And I hope we keep killing it because we kind of need Death Wish Coffee to stay around now. Yeah. And I think they probably will because people have been whacking that promo code. And they're complimenting the coffee. That's the best part. Most of these people, I think, everybody drinks coffee. So they figure, well, if I can help the show and if I like it. And it sounds like people like Death Wish Coffee.
Oh!
There are more people who like shock coffee than I thought. It's a serious brew, Death Wish Coffee is. It will punch you in the face, double the caffeine of your typical cup of coffee. It'll knee you in the nuts. Oh, knee in the nuts. Cold brew fan? It packs 300 milligrams of caffeine if you're up for it. You can get this badassery all over Metro Detroit in your favorite grocery stores. Just yell the promo code at the
clerk. I
didn't
even know that existed.
They're up on the shelves. Are doing well, too.
Mm-hmm.
So this has been great. If you want to go online, head to deathwishcoffee.com/drew. deathwishcoffee.com/drew for access to all the coffee products, the merch, and use promo code DREW15 at checkout to save 15% on your entire order. Death Wish Coffee, high octane fuel for the human machine.
I should remember that information.
Pamela sent me an interview with Alaska.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's Alaska and his brother talking.
What?
Have you seen that?
Who's his brother?
I missed out, man.
Are we sure it's his brother?
I think it is. I mean, they seem like brothers. Let me see if I can find Pamela.
Well, I think we need to
know that existed.
Drop everything and watch it immediately.
I feel the same way. Pamela, where
are you? In case people didn't know, Alaska is gay, by the way. Did anybody not?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Because he's just a drag queen.
Now, yeah, and he was on, what's his name's Drag Race?
RuPaul's. He won drag it. Race. Yeah, he won it.
He won?
Yeah, I believe so.
Oh. Boyfriend.
Okay.
Could have mentioned that.
Do you want me to email it to you? I guess I have to.
You don't have to. You can text it. See? Is it on text or email? Or you can just tell me the title.
It's on email.
Okay.
I just sent it, so you'll get about 20 minutes.
I've never even been up there.
I know. Brandon has sent me multiple emails, and then 3 days later, I'd gotten them, and I just wrote back, hey, I just got your email. 3 days
what?
Later. We yeah. still don't know. It could be because he's using an outdated email system, I think.
What? Because I have a Hotmail account?
Exactly. Shit. Who has Hotmail in 20... What is this year, 2020?
I have the same email address as, like, multiple that I've had since I was, like, 16 years old.
Wait, Stacey DeFord is on MySpace.
What?
Yes, she's on MySpace. And
actively? Well,
yes. And of course, I said, this is probably a year ago. I said, Stacey, this is MySpace. And she goes, yeah, I keep it just because it bothers people so much.
Well, then I'm all for it. I love it. I think that's wonderful.
One gay,
one straight,
and hot.
We are Bro-Laska.
I would never have guessed that this is his brother. Have you seen his brother?
Yeah. Yeah, I watched the whole thing. Mark, I was mesmerized. Honestly, we're doing exactly what I did, which is I dropped everything, and I clicked on what Pamela sent me, and it was fantastic.
Is there a particular part?
No, just let it roll. It's okay. Fantastic.
Right now, you ready for
Alaska
it?
Alaska is from, we should point out, the books Circus of Books documentary on Netflix, which is about this this old couple who had, and they're very pedestrian-looking people. I mean, just the most normal-looking couple, I would think.
Yeah.
And they...
Nice Jewish parents.
They were looking for a business, and this place, Circus of Books, I think, or Circus Books...
It was Book Circus. They changed it to Circus of Books.
Yeah, by cutting the sign in half and adding OV. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was always my dream to work in a porn store.
Of course, it's hard to top my friend Don Schaefer, who took Don St. John and Jim Schaefer's jingles and slashed them and became Don Schaefer because they couldn't afford a new jingle package.
That's brilliant. I love it. That's great.
It sounded pretty good, too. You could not hear the edit.
Necessity's the mother, right?
Yeah, boy. So, what was I talking about?
Alaska.
Alaska. Anyway, Circus of Books was, or Book Circus, Book Circus? Was
sure,
falling apart.
Either one.
And he just had this crazy idea, because they were going out of business, that he would ask the landlord if he could take over and he'd pay half the rent. Because he figured the guy's getting nothing, and the guy took it. So, what do you know? He owns Circus Books.
And one of the reasons he was very interested in this business is they were distributors for Larry Flint. And you know, yeah. They did Hustler, for which the story about that is really intriguing, how Larry Flint came into their lives.
By the way, Larry looks svelte in the
in his younger days.
He looks fantastic. No, in the documentary, he's slimmed down. He looks good. I don't want to say he's been working out or anything.
You
but like I mean,
you see?
If I would say he's been getting hotter, if I didn't know better. I mean, he looks fabulous. He looks slim. He's on top of things. he just looks. I mean, he's well groomed. It just looks like he had a makeover or something.
Well, maybe he did.
Yeah. Maybe a diet. Maybe they're working him out. I don't know.
You like what you see. Huh?
But I was surprised.
They're working him out.
I don't know. Did they do that? Just asking. I mean, maybe at the end of a day, somebody goes, "Hey, Larry, how's your day?" I got hotter.
I did 500 push-ups.
They got me hotter. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, he's great in the documentary. And like I said, he looks svelte. He looks really good. And so this couple, they come to find out, well, they knew this. It was a pornographic bookshop, and it was mostly for gay dudes.
But he was interested in it because Hustler sold really well, distributed, and then Blue Boy, apparently Larry Flint had
Blue Boy. Was huge. That was a running joke on the show. Blue Boy was a big deal. I mean, if you were in publishing, you probably were a Blue Boy.
So he noticed that this one store was taking all 600 of the gay publications that they offered and wanting more. So he's like, oh, there's something to this business. Not unlike Ray Kroc and the McDonald's brothers, and when he noticed that they were buying,
yeah, it was an interesting
shake mixer.
I have to admit that the fact that it was a gay bookstore in the '70s and eighties and nineties, that made it a really interesting documentary. Because first of all, when they show clips of of gay people back then, that was when gay people were gay. I mean, they were gay. They were flamboyant gay, and they just went crazy. I don't know what it was. It was like the cream of the crop or something.
Back when it meant something. Back when you really had to try.
I mean, to be out and gay, you had to be one of the top gays, and you had to be gay as hell. And man, they just gayed out all over the place. They said how every town had a, what they call it, gay alley or homo alley or something.
A boys town, I think, is what it was, wasn't it? Boys town?
Well, they said there was an alley in every city
where
gay people could just go nuts.
Yeah, there was one guy on Circus of Books that lost his virginity in the alley behind Circus of Books.
I didn't know.
Sounds romantic.
I didn't know what that meant. Did that mean?
I missed out, man.
Oh, if he gave or
received? He was a giver or
receiver? I think it was just the first time.
Is it the same way? I mean, is it half and half? It's like, I lost half my virginity.
Oh, that's interesting. I never thought about it that way.
Just saying. Just thinking out loud. Anyway, Alaska worked for, a long way of saying Alaska worked for.
We're spending a lot of time on this.
The bookstore. It's a really good doc. I mean, I'm telling you. And I'll have to talk about Murder Mountain later on if anybody hasn't seen that or likes true crime type things. Murder Mountain on Netflix was, I thought it was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So Alaska works there. He's extremely flamboyant. Maybe because he's from that period. I don't know. But anyway, we've become fascinated with him. His vocal fry
it's the best.
Is not to be topped. His affectation is incredible. It's like I just hang on every word he says. I'm fascinated.
Hi, how's it going?
So here's Alaska and his brother. And like I said, when I saw this from Pamela, I just dropped everything. I got to hear this. And it didn't disappoint. I watched the whole thing. It's really good.
Polygamy? What are you talking about?
Dating. Who's doing it? How do we feel about it? I don't remember your first girlfriend, do you?
I don't even think I remember.
His brother's straight,
how
by the way.
How old were you, like 12? You were dating like...
No, early. Like I consider first relationship as someone like that I actually cared about and liked, not just someone I hung out with.
Okay.
I can't. It was my. No.
You can't remember her name, but.
No, it's Lindsay.
You really
care
about her.
No, it was Lindsay, but. No, I feel like. Yeah, no, she was first. Or was she second?
I gotta say, in watching a lot of interviews with him, he's a very likable guy. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Hanging out with him.
His brother's very likable, too.
It was like young love.
There was definitely one that I regret screwing up.
Who?
Jackie, the Canadian. Yeah.
She was.
Oh yeah, the parents, the mom,
and
dad.
The most disgusted face.
She played softball. Was she a lesbian?
No.
So. Where is she now? Where's Jackie?
I haven't. Yeah, where are you, Jackie?
Jackie, are you watching? Call the number on the screen.
So who?
Wait, do you remember my first girlfriend?
I would always have to say Lisa Stahl.
She was my first girlfriend. Yes.
Because she had blonde hair and she had a gap in her teeth.
I have a type, I guess. We never talked in school. We corresponded only by notes, which were handed off through
So did you say, people. Will you be my girlfriend? Circle yes or no?
I don't remember how it even happened. It was something like that, though.
Wow.
No. And then one day I got a no, and it was like, I really like you, but I think we should not... I think we should break up or something like that.
Were you heartbroken?
And I was so upset. I can remember. I read it on the bus and like the world just like went.
Was she the reason you converted?
Yeah,
converted.
Then I was gay from that day forward. No. My first, well, my first fake boyfriend was Joel.
I don't have a clue.
That's
and
a good
we
story.
Met in an AOL chat room, and he was a pastor's son, so he was like really secretive. We went out on a date. We went to like look at like ATVs at a store because he was into that shit.
Yeah. Was he gay?
Yes.
Oh.
And then we spent the night together, and like I thought it was like true love or something.
After one night?
After one night, because it was like the first night I spent with someone, and like. And we made out in the grass, and it was just like this amazing romance. He never called me again. Like, he stopped talking to me completely. And then I met my next boyfriend, and he was like, wait, you met Joel? And apparently, Joel had a history of doing this to young men. I think what happened is that one of these gays got really angry a few years later, and they like wrote a letter to mom and dad, the preacher.
They should have went to their church and brought him.
I don't know. So they like outed him, which I don't really condone, but like that did happen. But
Oh man. Watch the rest of that. That's,
he's awesome.
That's just fantastic.
You know, I'm hoping
print gay.
Is there any chance we get him on the show?
I'll go. I'll take another round at him.
It'll be great to have a gay correspondent like Babad Alaska Thunderbuck.
He's a blast.
Somebody sent me an email about Bort Meister, by the way.
Oh really?
Bort? I think they just want to get in touch with Bort Meister.
Okay.
Not on behalf of Kyle Bogey, but maybe it's just a joke. I'm not sure. Anyway, did you see Bitch album today?
No, but I saw. So there's nothing on TV, so I caught some of the Bad Boys 30 for 30.
Oh.
Which is just phenomenal.
It was on today?
This is last night. Ooh. So I'm what? Are you playing something on your phone?
Oh, yeah, I am. Us. Okay. It's us.
Oh, cool. Well, let's crank it.
Sorry.
So I'm watching that 30 for 30, and of course, the part they're talking about Isaiah and how his, the veneer of how he acted, you know, the smile and nice Isaiah was very different.
Yeah.
And the quote, they have a quote from Mitch on there. He's on there, and he's talking about how tough he is, and he said, it's all hiding behind that beautiful smile.
Okay, Mitch. See you around.
You knock it off album. Beautiful smile.
Isaiah gave another interview. I don't remember where, but since this thing aired, I mean, for some reason, people are just getting off on these people talking about a, you know, 30 sure. years ago series, which is kind of cool in a way. Mm-hmm. And Isaiah said Michael Jordan was the fourth best person I ever played against. Oh!
Ooh.
Mic drop.
Ooh. Who were the other? Who were the three? Magic. Mark Aguirre, all his friends, all his buddies.
No, it's like Bird and Magic and Kareem, stuff like that.
Kareem. That's right. Yeah, Kareem was one of them. You know, it just sounds ridiculous to me.
It is ridiculous. It's sour. Sorry, so sour grapes about
this. Really sour grapes about all this. But anyway, Bitch Album, I dug into the free press today, doing my prep. And there's the Bitch Album's Cobb, and he is timely as always. Bitch Album.
Is he taking a hard stand on something?
Yes.
Oh, yeah,
we might be ready to move on, but COVID-19 isn't. Therein lies the rub. Therein lies.
The Can you read the last, just the last two sentences or paragraph? That's where the
the article.
Yeah, that's okay. Where the meat.
We'll start
is.
From backwards. Got to get my Mitch on here.
By the way,
read a Mitch album story like Memento.
Well, you'll know if you read the first sentence of each segment. I think there's usually three.
Hey, Mitch.
It all ties together.
It's really heavy, though.
Don't try to get all touchy-feely with us.
Is this the one that's titled Break Free from Coronavirus Before Freeing Ourselves?
I don't know. My phone is acting really weird. Oh, Cobots. There can't be Cobots on us.
There might be.
So we set those Cobots. Okay, here's the final piece. This is going to be kind of weird, but let's try.
Comments are closed on this story.
What?
Yep.
I think there's been an attack on Bitch Album. It may be on Bort Beisner, too. but COVID-19 is not going to change its behavior. That burden will fall on us. We are restless, tired of the story, ready to move on. Yeah, we read the numbers. Yeah, we hear the doctors. But we need our paychecks, and we need our production, and summer is coming, and we're all fed up, and enough is enough. Let's get our boats in the water. Sound familiar?
What?
Sound familiar?
So that's not really Mitch talking? That's something else talking?
That was somebody else talking. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking to somebody else.
They've got cabin fever.
Sound familiar? Our inner clocks are screaming, which means the more time passes, the bigger battle won't be against the virus. It will be against ourselves.
Whoa. That's deep and heavy and emotional.
There's heaviness right out of the gate.
Wow.
It is heavy, heavy, heavy.
Very good.
Okay, let's see. Come on, Mitch. Stupid. Okay, here we go. It is not COVID-19. It is our patience. Americans are not a patient people. Our news cycle is 24 hours, a big story 48 hours. We get bored with long reads.
like this column.
This is a long read. I really had trouble staying with this, Mitch. We're making movies in 10-minute increments. Our president communicates in tweets. We want things fast, now, and over. So last week.
Yeah, and?
As the weather turned sunny, the calendar turned to May, and reports began to spread of other states opening up, you could almost feel the collective zeitgeist in Michigan. Zeitgeist.
Yeah.
I like that. That's enough already.
Oh, my God. He's so deep.
6 weeks, we're done with this. The problem is coronavirus is not done with us. It doesn't get bored. It doesn't follow our timetable. It'll hang around as undeterred as a shadow. You go inside, you think it's gone. You come outside.
I don't think it's gone. We go inside and you don't think about coronavirus anymore.
You come outside, though, and it's waiting.
It's gone. Just don't worry about it. It's gone.
You're making a big mistake. It's going to cost lives. That's the message Dr. Erwin Redlander, a disaster preparedness specialist at Columbia University, told the media last week. He said a report.
Yeah, so what's your point?
He sent a report to political leaders across the country, including governors who are opening their states right now.
Get to the point!
Italics. It's going to cost lives. Anyone who's paying attention knows that by fear is, given our national impatience, at some point we start accepting the fact, in which case, heaven help the people we are willing to sacrifice.
If someone gets infected, you've got between 10 and 20 seconds to kill them. It might be your brother or your sister or your oldest friend. It makes no difference.
Do
you think Mitch has the money to just keep going?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Sure, yeah. So I know that's saying economically it doesn't worry him as much.
That's why it's hard to, you know, and he does something that I really hate because this has become a talking point. And by the way, does everyone get copies of the new talking points on every topic? Because I noticed
they're usually in a meme on Facebook.
Oh, it's so annoying. So here we go. There are countries on this planet right now during wars and starvation that have lasted years.
You're rich, you jerk.
Genocide, fear of being killed without reason, poverty that leaves people scrounging to feed their babies every day. Should we really whine about not being able to go to the bar?
Should we what? Really what?
Whine. Whine.
Oh.
Should we really whine? Oh. Not double whine, like whine. Where? Should we really whine about being able to go to the bar? Is that what people are whining about, going to the bar?
No.
Really?
No.
Stop whining.
No.
I mean, there might be some, but that's not the overall message. People want to go back to work and make money.
Whiner.
Knowing the single legitimate test of our patience is how long an economy can be shut down and what will remain of it when it opens. No one knows, by the way.
Yeah. I just feel like that dropped. Yeah. What's your point?
I don't know. Sometimes it's just so clever and cute, I can't stand it.
Yeah.
No one knows, by the way.
Some people are suggesting on Facebook Live that he's ruining our viewer numbers.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What are they at now?
We lost 20 since the start of
the... What? What are they at now?
156 with a caveat.
It seems like there's nothing that raises the numbers. Every time I look, they're lower.
Well, Sunday definitely lowers them.
I've had it with Facebook Live.
Not promoting them. We need to start...
What if I read it as, like, serious... like Alaska. I felt about with a cold.
Alaska.
So wait. Let's see. Starting with the fear that businesses will be gone. Fear that another month of bills without income will sink us. Fear that temporary job losses will be permanent. Fear that, to be blunt, we will have to suffer. This is legitimate, serious stuff, and a fear that will surely try our patience. But so is the fear of death. So is the fear of losing a parent while only being able to speak to them over a telephone. So is the fear of unknowingly contracting the virus, coming home and passing it to your loved one, particularly older or at-risk loved ones.
Blah, 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 blah.
Did it help the numbers?
Yeah.
The great genius.
Let's see if all they right. went up. Oh, they went up a little bit.
Whoa.
Oh, it's crazy.
I'm just so bummed that we cannot read the comments. Can you imagine how much fun it would be to read the comments to this?
I know. Why are they blocked again?
Oh.
What?
There's an award. I'm so embarrassed. Oh, my God. Did the Facebook Live people notice this?
Yeah, that Drew has an award up?
Yeah, it's best. This thing just, it's right next to me today, and it's almost facing the camera.
I know.
It's almost facing the camera.
It's crazy. I just didn't know where to hang it up, so I set it there.
Best morning drive time radio show. Most obnoxious morning show
all
also.
Right. So,
how's that?
I didn't even know that existed.
Oh, why won't anyone give me an award?
You do have the Marconi down here somewhere.
I do.
Yeah.
The Marconi
nomination.
The Marconi nomination. It's Drew and Mike, Best of Detroit 2000 for the Metro Times. Who, by the way, Metro Times had some good pieces that have been in my feed.
Yeah.
And I've been reading them.
Yeah.
So
I know something Charlie helped write, too, about Flint was in there.
You know, I forget... the Metro Times sometimes, and it's nice to have them on the Facebook feed, and I know they're
struggling
very event oriented, so this is a tough time for an important voice, and I hope they find their way forward.
Did you see all of Brandon's Emmys behind him? He's got his three Emmys.
Brandon.
Sorry guys, I ran out of time. I was trying to put some things away. I'm trying to find places for the Emmys. I'm trying to find a spot in the basement for the guitars.
Yeah, obviously you don't want to rush with the guitars, so you carry them away last when you're
I'm dying to know, how did you hang those guitars up on those blinds?
Suction cup holders, so...
And I like that one's propped up on the door in case someone tries to come in. It stops them from coming into the casting couch.
Sorry, I didn't mean for it to be a distraction. I was just trying to put them away, and it just so happened they are behind me.
The casting room background has been very popular, I have to say. I've read a lot of great compliments on it. I'm glad you mentioned Charlie, because Charlie, you know, Charlie's always... He's just... He's always spinning. He's just a human tornado.
Yep. His last episode, I believe, is posted, if not right now, later today.
And that interview, I couldn't stop listening to it. I was just popping in to tell people to share on his Facebook Live.
Sure.
And he's interviewing the guy with one lung who was on a ventilator at a hospital, and he's in shackles, of course, and there's a guard outside his room. And then he wakes up out of the fog and realizes... Am I close enough over there? I'm not shackled anymore. What's going on? He opens the door. Oh, there's no guard there. Anyway, Charlie takes the story from there.
It's phenomenal.
He leaves the hospital under his own power somehow. Oh, my God. There were so many sarcastic comments on the Facebook Live. It was really kind of... It was fun.
Bye.
I have to admit, I get the joy of being on Facebook Live because you put together so many smartasses in one place.
I know, it's great.
It's fun.
Yeah.
So anyway, Charlie, I don't know, explain this to me. Charlie got 100 cases of beer, just like he just bewitched, winked, and...
Yeah, I think somebody who owned something, is that cryptic enough?
Okay.
You know, wanted to donate them because he can't sell it right now. So he's figured might as well donate it to first responders, frontline workers, that kind of stuff.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
And he, of course, he and Grace do so many things like this. Grace with Coney Island.
Now, for legal purposes, they're not associated because, you know, that doesn't affect their... That's just the location where he's doing it at. They have nothing to really do with the giveaway.
Let me leave Grace out of this. Free beer! A friend of mine gifted me another 100 cases of beer. I would like to re-gift them to paramedics, firefighters, police, deputies, correction officers, nurses, doctors, and residents as a gesture of thanks and respect. First come, first serve, 2 cases each. Monday, that would be today for most people listening on Monday, 3 to 5 p.m. outside American Coney Island, 114 Lafayette Boulevard, downtown Detroit. Bring ID and no whining.
No whining.
No whining.
So he agrees with Mitch.
And you know what? Here is another. I was going to continue on in the effeminate man with a cold voice, but I have to get serious because we were talking to Emergency Response Services Incorporated a couple months ago, and then the pandemic hit, and I think they were a little not ready, and they thought, this is a weird time. But, you know, what they do, it really doesn't matter what's going on. If this basement gets filled with sewage or this piece of shit house, God knows what could happen to it. When you need someone, you need someone. And they're nice guys. I went and I had lunch with them, which I can't say I've had lunch with that many sponsors lately, but we did. And they are Southeast Michigan's fastest responders to your home or business, water extraction or drying needs. They got a carpet cleaning business, too.
What'd you eat?
I'm looking at you like you know all this
stuff. She's focused on the lunch, though.
I think they got the carpet cleaning business when they were cleaning so many carpets or hiring out, so they just say, well, why don't we have our own carpet business?
Smart.
So, in addition, helping Metro Detroit with fire damage, storm damage, mold removal during these new normal times, ERSI, that would be Emergency Response Services Incorporated, is also your trusted partner for COVID-19 disinfection treatments.
Huge.
In your essentially open business or soon-to-be open business. So if people are wondering, oh, my God, how do I do this? There you go. There's your guys. Emergency Response Services Incorporated. And to learn more about us, call 877-JOB-DONE. That's one of the coolest phone numbers
ever. Very cool number, 877-JOB-DONE.
877-JOBS-DONE. Or visit
Jobs or job done?
Job done. Job done. I'm sorry. Okay. They want to put jobs, but it's too many because they get jobs done all the time. But 877-JOB-DONE or JOBDONE or visit 877-JOBDONE.com and tell them Drew sent you. Oh, it's another
problem. I don't want to be disturbed unless it's an emergency.
If you're an emergency plumber or work for a plumbing supply house in Southeast Michigan, call them now for your free COVID-19 disinfection treatment in your workplace or work vehicle. How cool is that?
That's huge.
Hey, hear that? If you're an emergency plumber or work for a plumbing supply house in Southeast Michigan, call them now for your free COVID-19 disinfection treatment in your workplace or work vehicle. Of course, the hope is that...
I didn't even know that existed.
They do the job that you're hoping they'll do, and you invite them back sometime. 877-JOB-DONE.
Brad.
COVID-19.
Brad joined the Facebook Live a little late, and he wants to know if they got yelled at yet. He hasn't yelled. You haven't yelled today.
I know. You know, I'm surprised at how many people think that we're just failing miserably because of all my bitching about Facebook Live. We're really a download business, but I got overexcited. Wow. I don't know what happened. One day we got 24,000 people watching Facebook, and I thought, this pandemic, everybody wants to watch videos, and we can make it spread, and it'll go 100,000 in no time. And then the numbers just start going back to normal. It's like, what?
There is truth. I mean, podcast listening is down across the nation in general.
It is. I wonder what
people
radio...
People would rather watch stuff.
You know what? I got an email from somebody who's very in the know about radio.
Ooh.
And this is somebody who I will not name because what they said is so true, and I don't think I want to be...
Who is that? I want to know who it is.
Where else...
I'd ask you to write it down, but I'm afraid the cameras might...
Where else has e-bail?
Catch it. E-bail?
Wait a second.
Maybe if I knew who it was, I could find it.
Is he on Ballot Drone Bike or is he on Drone Bike Podcast?
Yeah.
Anyway, I've been emailing him about does this search thing just not even work?
Christian says like, to stop chasing your initial high from Facebook Live. From when you first did. You're always going to be chasing that. That's really funny.
Hang on, I almost caught the dragon.
That is so true.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we've had a few first highs on Facebook. We got.
You're always going to be chasing it.
We got over 50,000 views when Mike Clark died, in addition to all the downloads, which was madness. But I'd never seen a number like that on Facebook Live. I was like, oh my God, they're all going to watch tomorrow. And it's like, no, they're not all going to watch tomorrow. They, you know, Mike died that day and they wanted to hear some Mike. So anyway. I was, of course, crushed the next day when it's like 8,000. I'm like, 42,000 people don't want to listen to us today. What's up with that?
There's actual audio the next day when it failed.
Gay fucking shit.
So previously when I asked this person, how's radio doing? He says, there's no way to know because they'll always tell you it's doing great and they're always lying. In other words, they'll always say like, 96% of Americans listened to the radio last year. And it's like, they don't tell
last
you that,
year.
That they listened to it for, you know, 30 minutes on the average or something like that.
Well, they are good at spinning and selling.
Yeah, it's getting hard. Anyway,
well, I noticed one of them, one of the companies that has a streaming service is like, year to year, we're up. And I'm like, yeah, but that's because you had nothing on that streaming service last year.
That just sounds suspicious.
It's a lie.
You know, it's almost like, it's like the... The way people twist things is just so disturbing now. It's so like when we were talking about, you know, the different kind of graphs.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, my God, what in the world are we talking about? Because you can say it and it sounds one way and I can say it and it sounds another way.
Yeah. You're talking about linear versus logarithmic graphs.
Yeah. I was looking
at
one.
Spent way too much time watching the nerdiest YouTube video explaining the difference.
Well, I was talking about linear because I was looking at linear and everyone was done on a linear basis. So I can compare one to another, to another, to another. And...
But they
what
are.
In the hell are you talking about?
Funny you should ask, Brandon. So a linear graph, the axis is time on the bottom and the number of infections on
boring.
The
side.
Yeah, is this time well spent?
No, I was just. I
told you! I find them boring!
I was waiting for someone to cut
about
me
the
off.
Beatles.
Yeah. Boring!
I could have been talking about the Beatles, for Christ's sake.
Well, I was just waiting for someone to cut me off, so. Yeah.
Well.
It's crazy.
Anyway, I can't hold back much longer. I was so on the edge of my seat all night Friday night because Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell were on Dateline. Did everyone see it?
No, I didn't see it.
It wasn't that much new,
well, that's,
but it was still fascinating. Yeah. And the son was brought in.
Oh, really?
An older son, yeah, who she apparently wasn't close enough to kill. And she doesn't have any responsibility for him because he's older, he's married and stuff. I'm sure she would have killed him or had her brother kill him. But her niece was on there too. And her niece is very clearly in the cult.
Oh, really?
She says, very loyal to Lori to this day. So everything the niece says is so full of shit. I mean, she's like, well, yeah, it's a lot of coincidences. But, you know, sometimes a lot of people die at once. It's crazy.
Did she? So she had a light spirit?
I guess you could say that. She, you know, for example, and who's our, I was going to say our favorite Dateline. I like all the Dateline
Keith
people.
Morrison.
Keith Morrison. Yeah.
I love the Tom Mazzaway sound like, too.
Oh, Josh Mankiewicz.
Josh Mankiewicz is great. He's such a good
Weird.
Guy, too. Man, he was nice.
Yeah.
But it was, wait, who's that guy? Weird.
Keith Morrison.
Jesus. For some reason, my short-term memory is just off today.
Oh, great.
It's been driving me crazy. I've been looking things up going, why? It's on the tip of my tongue. Anyway, Keith Morrison's doing the story, and he gets to the part where...
I don't remember!
You know, oh, what do you know? Her husband, he was shot by her brother. It's crazy. You know, her husband, who's not violent at all. And in fact, she... This is what's so weird about her... Should I take this tangent now or come back and take it later? I'll come back and take it later.
Oh, well, that's a good tease.
He's not...
Tangent upcoming. How do you tease a tangent?
I've never done that before. What do you know? There's always a first here. You never know
how
many firsts you're going to run into. What's our Facebook Live at now?
159.
Ah!
Oh, here, I'll share it. Maybe that'll help. Brandon, did you share on yours?
Did all you people listening
share? This is
share?
Pretty much the worst video ever made.
By the way, I've seen a lot of your wise-ass comments
keep them
the
coming.
Day after when I look at them. All you smart asses about when I'm going to yell at you. And
so Jeff Moore says that he wants a new rule for Facebook Live. Once it loses a certain amount of viewers, we just have to shut it down.
That's a great idea.
So no more viewing for you people.
We'll have to follow.
How far do you want to go today, by the way?
Of our exciting Zoom call.
We have to follow through.
How long do you want to go?
How long have we been going?
Show meaning.
40 minutes
40,
so far.
40.
Well, we can go an hour, I guess. Okay, so Lori, her brother has killed her soon-to-be ex-husband in a crazy dispute that is so fake, it's ridiculous.
What's
she wanted him dead. Her brother tried to kill a previous husband of hers, by the way.
Yeah.
He went to jail for trying to kill a previous husband. What do you know? This husband comes at him with a bat, hits him in the head with a bat. He has a little tiny thing on his head. Fake!
Oops. Yeah.
And so he goes to the bedroom, gets his gun, and supposedly as he comes at him. And Charles Vallow.
Not looking too good.
Sounded like a really good guy who was really nice to Lori Vallow. I mean, the story is just ridiculous. Then... what do you know? Shortly after that, Chad Daybell, who's her new guru, and she's on his podcast. They make the podcast sound like such a big deal. I want to see if it's ranked.
Do you know what it's called? Well, they're not still doing it, right?
That's my ultimate threat. I'm checking their rank! Chad's wife dies in her sleep about a week after she thinks someone shot at her with a paintball gun. Which was turned out to not be a paintball gun. This is the same thing somebody else in the family says about a month later. I thought somebody was shooting at me with a paintball gun. Yep. No, it's him with a rifle, I guess. Mm-hmm. So then she dies. 14 days later, they get married on the beach in Kauai.
Oh, how romantic.
14 days after his wife dies, and then it turns out, what do you know, that she's been using her dead husband's inactive Amazon account.
Mm-hmm.
She bought wedding rings that are on their fingers 17 days before Tammy Daybell died.
What? wait. But was he in Hawaii when Tammy Daybell died?
No, he was at home.
Oh, it's crazy.
Because he and Lori weren't even a couple yet. He was madly in love with Tammy
rings.
Daybell.
Small world, huh?
They had five kids.
Caught. I'm very proud to say we caught him.
It's so... flipping obvious.
Yeah.
The wedding rings, that was a new development. I thought was very interesting. So they're married 14 days later. So anyway, Keith Morrison's talking to the niece, who is very pro-Lori Vallow. Again, we cannot all agree on anything. There have to be people who support Lori Vallow, who not only is responsible or partially responsible for the death of these two adults, but her kids are missing dead, obviously.
Yeah,
17 and 7, and she doesn't know where they are, and she gets married and moves to Hawaii and tells the condo complex that she and Chad Daybell, her new husband, have no kids, no pets. Mm-hmm. Pretty weird.
Well, she didn't have any kids with her at that time.
Well, okay. That's what the niece
I
would say.
I want to be her defense
so he
attorney.
Asks, he, I know, that would be kind of fun for a day.
He well, asks, he'd have to deal with
he
it.
He asks the niece, he's like, 2 weeks? That's pretty quick. And then he says,
they're in love.
Well, you know, in the LDS community, they say that when you know, and you know, sometimes it happens really fast.
It's like, are you fucking kidding me? You're really going to suggest that this makes sense, that these two people who would have been widowed, you know, that shortly ago, him from someone he was in love with, that just 2 weeks, but,
well, yeah, sometimes it happens really fast.
And then when the police show up, because Lori's parents, who were very close to her 7-year-old, cannot reach him for 2 months. And they're like, what is it? We talk to him all the time. What's going on? They finally get so upset because Lori won't talk to them that they call the police. And they said, can we have a welfare check? And of course, it's just, what do you mean for the kid, for a 7-year-old? What do you mean? Isn't the mother there? Well, yeah, we think the mother's there, but the child we haven't heard from. So anyway, they finally agree to do it.
Where is he? I want to talk to him.
Very strange welfare check because they don't know where he actually.
Well, they bolted.
Where do you think he killed him?
First, I would like to get to know you. First, they're told by her brother that. They're with their grandparents And they say, the grandparents called in the welfare check, so they're not with the grandparents. So then,
hi, Grandma.
Lori says, oh, they're with some friends in Phoenix, which they would find out later was not true because they got all the information. So they get a search warrant. And the next day, they go to issue the search warrant. Chad and Lori are gone.
What?
They've moved to Kauai.
Well, you know, they just didn't all the scrutiny.
So the niece, again, Keith's like, I sure beat a hasty retreat. And she says,
to Kauai. I could see him dragging out the word Kauai.
And she says, oh, no, they had planned to leave that day. It's like, wait a second. There's a welfare check for their kids. They're not in either place that she or her brother says they are. The police are asking a lot of questions, and, oh, it's time to go to Kauai. Who cares about our fucking 7-year-old that nobody knows where he is? That really doesn't enter into it, you stupid fuck.
They didn't have traveler's insurance. They didn't want to lose out on the money.
Didn't matter.
No. If your child was really missing and you found out that, oh, my God, I don't know where my child is. Yeah. You would not move.
What if that kid
You would
sucked?
Put everything down, and you would want to find the kid, but she knows the kid isn't there. Doesn't exist anymore.
Well, or that she just didn't like the kid, and he's missing, and all her prayers
Who cares? Yeah, I got lucky.
Or they had dark spirits. Did you see that story about the emails, the light and dark spirits?
Yes. Oh, man.
Which, it's funny. It's okay, here comes the tangent. This is not the tangent that you teased, but the news story was these emails that came out, and Lori had emailed her husband, Chad, to say, hey, what are my spirits of these people, of course? He has a light spirit level of, I think, 4.1, and she had a light spirit of, like, 3-something. And he looks at the kids, he's like, oh, these kids, they're dark spirits. I mean, he's just making one. She got an email from Chad. Here are the family history documents she requested, explaining light and dark spirits.
I'm a god warrior.
I'm trying to see. Oh, Tylee had a 4.1 dark spirit. While Tylee's father, that killed, was listed as dark and quote sealed away. The adoptive son was a light spirit, though.
JJ.
She's tampering in dark side and stuff.
I think the brilliance in that is adding the decimal point in another number. Like, saying 4 or 5. You got a 4.1, but you don't want to add too many because then it'll seem ridiculous.
That reminds me. What was the fake name I saw today that someone was using? It was like nipple, but it had an extra E at the end. And I was like, wow, the Japanese with the extra S, it's catching on. Other people are doing it. Or, you know, cunt with an extra T.
Or cunt. Kim McGruber.
So, let me go back to my tangent.
All right.
Because the defense to all this... I suppose there's no defense. The part that just kills me about this story is I didn't know. Jim Bentley and I talked about this, too.
I didn't do this stuff.
That's the best defense.
I didn't know that.
Hi, Jim.
Your kids could be not seen by anyone for a long time, and the police could come to your house and you could go, oh, fuck, I don't know where my kids are. Your 7-year-old.
Wait, you can? Let me write this down.
Yeah, you can. You can, because she did. I don't
know where they are. Okay.
Yeah, you cannot know where your 7-year-old is, and it's no big deal. You just move on, go to Hawaii the next day. I mean, she's still in the United States of America. She was free for the next, 4 months?
Yeah.
3 months?
Yeah.
3 months, at least.
In Hawaii? That's nice.
She's living in Hawaii. They're going to the beach. They show them carrying towels to the beach, and they're going, hey, where's your kids? And she, you know, not answering.
Maybe they're at the beach. Let me go look.
I mean, what in the actual fuck is going on here?
I think they're somewhere in Kauai. Let me keep looking.
What? Wouldn't you think that if your parents, for example, didn't see Charlotte for 3 months, and you could never get her on the phone or anything, and the police came to your house and they said, where's Charlotte? And you said, I don't know. Wouldn't you think there would be some immediate charge or something that could be done to stop you from moving forward with anything else in your life?
Depends what the follow-up questions are.
Charlotte.
I don't know. She went down the street.
Because I was trying to think about this. I was trying to come up with another brilliant new idea.
I don't want to be harassed until she shows up.
anyway, I was trying to think, how would you fix that? Because that is wrong. If you have a minor child who is 7 years old and you can't produce them and you have no fucking idea where they are and you're not cooperating even, then I think you should be arrested and you should be charged with like temporary murder.
How much? Temporary murder. I love that charge.
Until you produce your child.
Temporary murder.
You are responsible for
Carol Baskin's temporary murder. Absolutely. Temporary murder. Until he's produced.
You are responsible. He's an adult, but you are responsible for that child. You are the guardian. You have to know where they are, or at least help someone find your fucking kid.
How long? That's right. Lock her up.
How much time do we have to produce him?
Well, you can start cooperating right away. She didn't. I mean, they left. They just went to Hawaii the next day. They should have had the police should have shown up in Hawaii the next day and said, sorry, you didn't help. You're under arrest for temporary murder, and you're going to jail until you help us find him.
I like it.
And if you can't find him, I'd say as long as you know they can't be found, then you're in jail for temporary murder. Yeah. You can get out the day you decide you want to help. But
Or she just says something like,
yeah, I'm in a meeting right now, so I can't talk.
And if you killed them and you buried them somewhere that's so outstanding that they can't find them, then you know what? You're going to have to stay in jail,
I
guess.
I'm still sleeping.
Just use the John Madden excuses. They get you out of everything.
They are pretty good.
So she's on trial right now, correct?
Not yet, but
she's not? Was it all pre-trial hearing?
I don't think the trial started. Yeah, I think it's just pre-stuff. But
man, she was so hot back in the day.
I know she looked really good, but now that my whole idea about putting women in jail at some point for 60 days. I mean, we'll let the women choose after they're 30, just to see how hot they really are.
What about a COVID-19 quarantine?
I think you're really ugly.
Trudy really didn't warm to my idea at all.
No,
it seems that women don't understand. It's just an idea. I'm just throwing it out there. It's not as well thought out as temporary murder, but.
Well, if that's the case, then they'll just never wear makeup or get their hair done for you, right? Because you're going to see them that way anyway, and then, you know,
I got to tell you,
curtain's been pulled back.
I think women that are pretty are just pretty. I don't, like, a lot of makeup doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah, and you're ugly.
Not that, you know, getting dressed up and dolled up.
No, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... This story last, I mean, Saturday night, I'm sure a lot of people watched it.
Did they get into the storage? Because I remember 2020, they had the whole storage unit where they were there.
They didn't get into that.
Okay.
But, you know, there's another thing in that story that made me apeshit, and that's that when Charles Vallo, her husband, is shot by her brother tried to kill a previous husband. This is her fourth husband. This is the second one that he's been involved in something along the lines of murder. The first time he zapped him, he tased him, and somehow he was stopped from finishing the job, but he went to jail for, was it 3 months or 4 months or something?
Don't tase me, bro!
When they go, because the neighbor calls 911 or the daughter calls 911, somebody, so they show up. And there's Alex, her brother, her loser brother, by the way, who'll do anything for his sister.
That's weird.
Like, what's Bezos' girlfriend's name?
Lauren Sanchez.
It's like her loser brother.
Not my circus, not my clowns. He had some great one-liners.
His job is managing his sister.
Yeah.
Anyway.
What a weird job.
They ask Alex about it. He's like, oh, yeah, I mean that with a bat. And it's like, well, it doesn't look like he in that bat. So that's not real. And they said, what happened? And he said, well, Lori was having an argument with him. And so he's saying that Lori was there. No, I'm sorry. So they were having an argument. She left. And then he kept it up. And so I had to shoot him. Well, then Lori shows up.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, and she's not upset, surprised, anything. In fact, she's kind of joking about how the new neighbors, oh, this is terrible. And they're acting so wrong.
Yeah.
And in fact, she then reveals that she was there when he shot him.
Imagine. Oh,
so
really?
They don't even have their story straight.
I was going to defend her by saying, imagine her how hard it was to temper her excitement knowing he was dead.
No, what happened was she was there.
She was there. Wow.
Her brother shoots and kills her soon-to-be ex-husband, and she decides, I'm going to take JJ to school.
Well, you know,
JJ's got class. I'm fanatical. I don't want to get in trouble for truancy.
She cares about that kid a lot.
That'd be a really bad day.
Yikes,
Charles is shot. My kid's charged with truancy. So then she shows up on the scene just jolly as hell and announces that, oh, I was there. And they every cop there said this behavior was so fucking weird, it's impossible to even describe. Mm-hmm. They go to the police station. They drive them home. They're joking. They're talking about everyday things the whole way home. They're not the least bit affected by this.
It's tough being a single mom, you know.
Between that.
For 1 hour.
And the brother trying to kill the previous husband, wouldn't you think maybe they would have charged
pre-murder? What'd you call it?
Temporary murder. Well, yeah. That's only for children. That's only for children.
Why? It should be for all of them.
Well, it's a thought, but I don't know. We like giving adult criminals a better chance.
Well, I guess it's like arresting someone and charging them, right?
Yeah. I just felt like, what, they got nothing going on this case? They got nothing? Nothing's going on? And by the way, the brother, he ends up dying of I don't know what. Later on, after he attempts to shoot the niece's, soon-to-be ex-husband, and also he shot at one other, Tammy Daybell, Chad's wife. He shot at her a few days before. She suddenly, and in perfect health, about to run a 5K, she died.
Crazy.
When they got married, wouldn't you think somebody would be keeping an eye on him and go, holy fuck, those two people, their spouses just died, and they're married.
Maybe they're happy they were out of, and they're in Hawaii and out of their lives.
I mean, that, to me, it's like,
small world, huh?
We need another law. It's like, if you didn't murder this person, you're the unluckiest person alive murder.
Ooh. Oh, like it's because so obvious.
Both their spouses die unexpectedly. One is shot, and they get married 14 days after the second one dies because they fell so madly in love. Well, that sounds like such an outrageous pile of coincidences that their luck is terrible. It made them look like murderers, so they should be under arrest for having such terrible luck they prove it otherwise.
The bad luck law.
Something like that.
If it follows you, yeah. No, I'm
just
on board.
It's so fucking obvious. In this case, we know they did it.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't
believe. Where are those kids, though? They're
married.
You think so?
Absolutely. I think just given the
Yellowstone
footage that we've seen of them taking these extremely heavy Rubbermaid
out of
containers and loading them in the vehicle, that's what that was. I'm telling you, those kids were in those Rubbermaid containers. They went out and buried them. Is Chad Daybell during all this? He's just free, right?
He's free, yeah. He's just free.
He's
wife just died
to do.
In the middle of nowhere. He gets married 14 days later. And yeah, he's just doing his podcast and,
not my kids.
Good luck with these podcasts.
Not my kids.
It's not. They aren't his kids.
I know.
But he would have been there. The last time they were seen
The best way to crack any high-profile crime case is to do a podcast before you have all the facts.
She's been busted for so many different stories about where her kids are, too. It's like, it's not even close.
Well, maybe he didn't know when he was like, let's get to Hawaii. And decided not to tell him.
How does his wife die? She's about to run a 5K. She's perfectly healthy. She does. She's being exhumed, by the way. Slow down on the exhumation.
Well, come on.
I mean, when he got fucking married, I would have said, exhumation tomorrow.
So who was on the video? Was it her brother on the video with her taking those Tupperware containers out, Brandon? Do you remember?
I'm pretty sure that was Chad, because I think the brother was dead by then.
I think it was Daybell. What a stupid name.
I thought it was somebody that wasn't.
What a stupid name.
Or no, you know what? I think maybe it was the brother.
The brother
died shortly after that.
Yeah. Because he would have known then, right?
Yeah. The brother.
That's a stunk.
The you know what else they had last night? Did you watch Dateline Saturday, Brandon?
I did not, no.
Or Friday.
No.
No.
I know this story well, but I didn't want to watch it to tell you the truth because I was like, I don't want to hear any information until I know where those kids are. And are we ever going to find out? And I don't know how much they really dove into that portion.
You asked the question.
What kind of a policy is that? You don't want to know
anything. He's punishing
NBC. You don't want to know anything. So any programming related to this or any fascinating disclosures, you want nothing to do with them until the children are found?
Correct. I just feel that I know enough of the story to where
it's
all I
change.
Need to know now is how this bitch goes down.
Yeah.
That's all.
In other words, the story's not changing much.
I know she killed them. There's no way that they're alive. There's no way in hell that these kids were just pushed somewhere to be taken care of. They're gone. This is a cult that is apocalyptic. They think the world is going to end. They killed those kids. And then they wanted to party the rest of their days off in Hawaii.
I'm trying to decide whether to label Brandon incurious or not.
And plus, I knew that you would give me all the information.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about that. It was interesting.
Wow, that is a long story, but quite well told.
We heard that this niece. Do you want to see the niece? By the way, she's kind of hot. By
is she
the way.
One that looked like, I mean, Amy Poehler?
Right. No, that's the friend April.
Okay,
that's Lori's friend April.
Because once again, okay, when they were on 2020, she was on 2020.
Yeah,
that's why I wonder why all
April's pretty hot.
All Mormon women looked really hot. Remember we got that question?
Yeah, they did.
Someone answered it too. I thought it made sense.
What's the niece is super hot. In fact, somebody, I'm not going to say who, said, you know, in spite of her being completely whacked, I would love to nail her. I'd love to nail the niece.
Sure, why not? Except you'll end up dead because you have a dark spirit.
Yeah.
How far in is she? Do we know?
You know I noted a couple of times where she said crazy shit.
Did you see what Channel 4 had for what they had on last night?
Channel 4? Oh, they have something about Michigan State?
So they ran...
That seemed weird to me.
It was kind of weird. They ran the 2004 triple overtime Michigan win, comeback win over the Spartans. And then they aired...
The
fumble game. So I was watching a little bit of...
Ouch.
Guess which one I was watching a little bit of.
Oh, I would say 2002.
Which honestly is kind of annoying because it's not in high definition. And it's like, really? It's been that long? You know, it doesn't have a 16 by 9.
It seemed like it was that long ago.
No, I know. Well, think about it, 16 years. So I'm watching it.
Jesus.
And it goes to commercial, and they have, I think it was Devin or one of the guys from Channel 4 is doing a little recording because they're also trying to raise money. So they go to this website to see which school.
Oh, it was a TV-a-thon?
See which school is really the best. I think it was some charity joined it. I don't know.
Okay.
And then they went to commercials, and the first commercial is, are you a former University of Michigan student who's been sexually abused by Dr. Robert Anderson? We're the law firm that handled one-third of the Dr. Nasser victims. It's like, okay, great. Nice reminding both schools, both bases, that they had a creep doctor in their midst.
I know that.
While we're all supposed to be enjoying these games. And then I was like, that's a pretty smart buy by this law firm.
It doesn't seem incredible that they're buying an evening television show. I mean, this guy molested so many people.
Do you think the lawyers are planning on getting a nice settlement themselves?
Oh, I'm sure they are. Yeah. But I mean, you're talking about a market of 4.5 million people, and this guy molested so many that you're going to pay the kind of rates on a Sunday night, the biggest TV viewing night of all.
Well, Saturday night, but yeah.
Oh, Saturday night.
Still, though, isn't that just...
Okay,
took the air out of both games for both fan bases, I would think.
The crazy but hot niece.
Yeah, where's she at?
38:30. Try that one first. Okay. And I'm going to mention. Actually, can you mention this?
Sure. And can we end Facebook?
Sweating profusely. I think I need a glob of testosterone to tell the story better. By the way, somebody.
I think we did end it.
We did end it. I'm still watching it right now. By the way, when you get a chance, go back and read your neighbor's comments, Marcus's comments on their brand.
I saw them. He's the best neighbor in the world.
Somebody wanted to know if the Robbie Robertson interview was pre or post glob, because I have been doing the testosterone globs to try and recreate the Charlie Sheen like.
Tiger blood,
fanatical tiger blood winning behavior. I mean, he was on fire, and I just, if I could just get a little piece of that, I feel like I could grow this show. But can you take care of that?
I missed out, man.
Sure,
I got to cool off and get a glob.
Let me just make sure. Take it over your mouth, Brandon.
Surprised some medical people haven't checked in on my testosterone glob issue.
Well, it's clearly okay. Then they're totally fine with it.
Seems to be working.
Let's see. I need to tell you about Zot Auto. We're happy to announce that all dealerships of Zot, Zot Ford, Zot Chrysler Jeep, Zot Dodge Ram, and Zot Toyota can once again help you purchase a new and pre-loved vehicle or pre-loved vehicle. Working within the governor's orders, all showrooms must remain closed. However, our buddies up at Zot Automotive and DealsInTheD.com will be taking care of our listeners over the phone and online. And the best part is, once you pick your new wheels, Zot, they're going to deliver right to your home or essential business, wherever you are. They're going to get you your new ride. All this will be done with the intense focus on keeping you and their sales and service team safe with social distancing and complete vehicle disinfecting. Plus, we have, as we mentioned before, all 4 Zot dealership parts, service, and body shops are open and offering full valet pickup and delivery service. in a time that not all dealerships are open, please take advantage of Zot's sales and service departments, as well as free and safe pickup and delivery from our friends at Zot Automotive and DealsInTheD.com. Yeah, go to DealsInTheD.com and check out all the deals. I feel like I'm saying deals a lot, but there are a lot of good specials and offers right now on cars. I know that Ford and Zot Ford up there has a bunch going on because they sent me the mailer. I got the mailer in the mail because that's where you get a mailer. Are you a man facing divorce, Brandon?
Nope.
Well, if you were, you would need Adam, the American Divorce Association for Men. With Adam, you can get divorced without losing your house or your kids. And during this pandemic, Adam is offering a 10% discount to healthcare workers because they know the men working the front line will also, unfortunately, might face the fact that they want to get divorced too or need to get divorced.
Great lawyer.
Call Adam at 248-356-2326. That's 248-356-ADAM.
Consider that a divorce.
Okay. Where was I supposed to cue this up to? Well, I'll wait for him to get back. I don't want to spoil it without him. So you have Twitter open too. I always get distracted on Twitter because of the trends.
Yeah.
And Christian Laettner was trending today, which you and I were both like, why is Christian Laettner trending? And it's because he's going to be on the Michael Jordan show tonight.
The Last Dance, right on.
And then I see divorces trending. As is virginity. They seem very generic. But then the weirdest one up there trending right now is Michael Landon. Why is Michael Landon trending? Do you know who Michael Landon is?
The last couple weeks, so many weird, crazy things have been trending. And every time you click on it, it's like, oh, I thought he was dead. Oh, and then it's people asking, why is this trending?
Always.
Yeah. Christian Laettner, obviously, the Last Dance is tonight, and which means they're obviously going to get into the dream team that had Christian Laettner, who probably didn't deserve to be on the team. So that's why I think he was trending. Mm. Michael Landon was
on that team, though, because he was the top college player, and they still wanted to pretend like they took some kind of amateur, which I don't know why they wanted to pretend that.
They already had a lot of big guys. That was kind of the spot that everybody feels Isaiah Thomas should have had.
Yeah. No, I hope they really get into that, because that is really fascinating how Jordan allegedly kept Isaiah off of the Dream Team. There's a new aspect, too, to The Last Dance. Did you read the story? ESPN's podcast has been doing Jalen Rose. I forget who his partner is, but they've been doing after the episode.
Yeah, I was reading something about that today.
It's pretty good. And so the last one, they had the director on, Jason Heher.
I read this.
Oh, I didn't know you wanted to get involved with the discussion, Mr. Helper.
So he was talking about nailing down Dennis.
I'm clobbed up, by the way.
Dennis Rodman for an interview. Would you think it would be hard to get Dennis Rodman or no?
Well, I would expect him to need money.
Okay, I'm going to sound psychic. Because I did read the story, so I know what happened. I would think that Dennis Rodman, in his head of heads, would want to be on the documentary because he loves attention.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I would think that he is so self-important that he would make it difficult in some way.
That makes sense. And also, and Mark, you and I were talking about this earlier, he's been in a lot of documentaries lately. Exactly. He's been in the ESPN 30 for 30 for the Bad Boys. He did the 30 for 30 that was just about Dennis Rodman. So this guy has become accustomed to sitting down and doing these damn interviews.
So it almost seems like it would just be normal for him once you nail it down. Like, it wouldn't be that hard to go and interview him.
Can I ask you something? Do you find, generally speaking, if they say, Dennis Rodman is coming up to blank, whatever it might be, is that a good thing, Brandon?
I'll definitely take a look at it because you never know when you're going to see that train crash. You never know. I mean, case in point, when he's doing that interview from North Korea with all those other basketball players behind him.
I wouldn't have missed that. I wouldn't have missed that for the world. No, if I had, there's almost no life experience I wouldn't trade to see that if I hadn't seen it.
Can I put it this way? If it's a live interview, I have no, unless it's, I don't know, though. He could just break down and cry, which I know you don't like.
Well, I'm tired of it. It's an old act.
But I'm glad he's in this documentary.
I couldn't even go home.
Yeah, I did like him in the doc. There's a few things that bother me about him, but they also, because he uses third person all the time, but that's also entertaining. Yeah. I'm amused by it. The thing that drives me nuts about Dennis Rodman is for a long time, I think that because he's Dennis Rodman and we treat those people like they're so much more important than they are because he can catch a ball higher than anyone else. Mm-hmm.
Well, and he's wacky.
He thinks he's really clever and funny, and he is not funny.
No.
He's just not even remotely funny. In fact, he's really not very interesting.
I feel like he's surrounded by a lot of fake laughter.
Yeah, I think he's heard so much fake laughter, probably from sports people interviewing him and giving courtesy laughs, that he thinks he's he's just a half a chromosome short of Chappelle.
I'm so happy.
You don't find him interesting, though? Or how about this? Do you find him entertaining?
Sometimes, yeah, I do.
It depends on what he's talking about.
I mean, I love him as a player. As a person outside the game, though, I mean, he's really...
Well, this will probably make you hate him.
I got so many belt threats.
He's a pretty huge asshole.
Oh, he's a major asshole. That was one of the worst interviews you ever did, was with him when he was promoting his VIP section at the Royal Oak Music Theater and party.
Real quick, sorry to interject, but that reminds me that we did get from Dan Evans, who else, because he gets work done, we did get the Roger Hodgson interview, so we'll tack that on.
Okay.
Yeah, because you refused to tack Charlotte on.
Dennis Rodman.
Charlotte's podcast so much.
Like many others, he needs us to keep him supplied with money.
Yes.
So, he did, you know, like his podcast, for example, which had sponsors on it.
Mm-hmm. On the Rebound.
Yeah, it was, and what a great plot that he would get, and he didn't know the people that were on the show. He would get strange couples who had applied, who had some issue between them. Dennis would interview them, and if there's anyone who is less focused in terms of determining a problem between a couple, I can't imagine who it would be. And then if the issue's not solved, then the couple is on the Rebound. It didn't even make sense. No,
they came up with the name first.
They don't agree to break up. No one is on the Rebound.
We have Dennis Rodman. We need to do a podcast. Hey, let's call it On the Rebound. Okay, great. What's it about?
No, it's like they made up just the dumbest podcast plot to fit the name.
Yeah.
Because they had to get Rebound in the title somehow.
So Jason.
So bad.
I guess it's pronounced he here is talking about interviewing Rodman, and he compared it to interviewing a feral cat. Because he's not looking in the same place. He's got those big shades on. Every other sentence was going back to Kim Jong-un and how he was going to be in the history books. So everything you're asking the guy, he's going to go back to
Kim Jong-un.
He went on to explain that Rodman showed up for his interview. How do you think he was early or late?
Oh, of course he's late.
How late do you think he was?
I would have guessed, if I didn't know, I would have guessed 45, 40. I would have guessed a Jackson.
2 hours. He was 2 hours late and constantly had to be reminded about the subject at hand. So he was just showing up for an interview. No idea what it was about.
Probably wasted.
Rodman said we'll give you 10 minutes is what he told him. He's only going to give him 10 minutes when the filmmaker was expecting to talk for hours. But once again, there were some demands that were made. And once he had catered to his demands, he spent a lot of time with them. Rodman, this is a quote. So he sits down, just kind of shooting the shit with him. And he says, I need a tuna sub from Subway and some chamomile tea.
Looking good. This is so rude.
It's totally rude. It's just flexing muscle. And the director knew it. He knew he was flexing the muscle.
But how many things do people need Dennis Rodman for that they would actually do that? Very few at this point. Unless
that's why he did it.
Every day that goes on, there's less reason to need Dennis Rodman.
But he knew it was a test. You know, if you pass this test, I'll do the interview. If not, I'm out of here. Just giving him an excuse to leave. But they got him the tuna sub and the chamomile tea, which the other annoying part is presumably they had to wait for him to fucking eat it, which would be really annoying waiting for someone to eat a tuna sub.
I picture him being a loud eater, too. He probably talks while he eats because he thinks every word out of his mouth is fascinating.
You're right. Ugh, gross.
And I got to tell you, I remember when people just couldn't get enough of Dennis Rodman.
Yeah.
Personally, I was getting plenty of them because, you know, with Madonna, the piercings, the crazy hair.
Carmen Electra. Yeah.
Mixed in with all that was a guy who was always late for practices, late for games, missed practices, missed games. He was the worst teammate. I mean, he's got to be in the all-worst teammate team in terms of following any basic rules.
I think with San Antonio, he definitely was. And then Dallas later, didn't he? Wasn't he with Dallas for a second?
Yeah, he was.
But Chicago loved him because...
Because they
Jordan
needed him.
Jordan was like a father figure, and Phil was a father figure.
Rodman's older than Jordan, isn't he?
No, he was just a father figure.
No, he's not older than Jordan. He's barely younger.
I mean, so much is made about Chuck Daly here, taking care of him. And then when Chuck was gone, that's when it all fell apart.
In the midst of...
Excuse or not, it's just, you know, he needs that structure, I suppose.
I'll just say this. If he were an average NBA player.
No, no average. One would care.
He wouldn't have spent 1 minute on an NBA roster.
Without
not
a doubt.
1 minute.
Without a, well, and, look at who's the one guy that wouldn't fly? I think he went to Iowa State. Was it Marcus Smart? And he's with the team. I think he's with Boston now. But
it's just a matter of, is he good enough to put up with his bullshit?
And early on, he wasn't. Yeah. They were like, no, get out of here. We don't.
Is
you're not
he playing?
Fly. I want to say he's with Boston, if it's the right guy I'm thinking of. Explain the Rodman.
He'd been in trouble. He'd been in trouble, too. But Rodman.
The event.
Just as far as all of those things, when you know the marrying himself, you know, it was like every other day. Oh, Dennis Rodman, you did, and you turn the TV on and be like, Dennis, you're marrying yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Dennis be like, oh, I mean, I could never understand what he was saying, and he'd be like, I don't know.
Good one.
I mean, really, did you?
No.
See,
no.
I just thought everything was so weird and unclear because I just.
But people love
Singapore, Tokyo, China, everything.
They just like that he
could catch the ball. He could get higher, closer to the ball than anyone else, and therefore
it was fun to watch.
He was a good player. No, he was a good player. But I think
everything beyond
that is just ridiculous.
Royce White is the player I'm thinking of who went to Iowa State, and here's his career badge: 16th overall pick in the draft in 2012. Then he said he had anxiety. He can't fly. He made all these demands on the teams. So do you want to hear who he's played for?
Okay.
The Rio Grande Valley Vipers, the Sacramento Kings. I don't know how long he was with the Kings. The Reno Bighorns and the from 2016 to 2018.
Sounds to me like that didn't work out so well.
He was on the London Lightning.
Who are they?
But once again,
he's perfect for coronavirus because you have to stay in the same place and play the same place all the time.
London, Canada, by the way.
Yeah, that didn't work out well, did it? That didn't work out well at all, did it?
It just goes to show that, you know, Rodman at least was crazy a few seasons in, so they knew how good he was. Royce White, they're like, we're not even going to deal with this.
I wonder how much money that guy cost himself.
It's a great question.
I mean, seriously, it's got to be a lot of money because he was a great player.
I want to say he sued because of the Americans with Disabilities Act. I could be wrong on that. One other note, too, by the way. Carmen Electra, who was nailing Rodman.
Yeah.
She looks
great, by the way.
Yeah,
she looks,
I
thought she looked really good.
Well, so much so that her searches on Pornhub have gone through the roof last week.
Oh, good Pornhub? Why Pornhub?
Brandon, I don't know.
Well, you dropped Denny's name in the middle of that. I was going to say, what, did she hit Denny's dating app?
Did Denny tell that story on No Filter about staying in the room next to Rodman? Was that on the air or off the air? Well, I'll just tell it.
I think
anyway.
We talked about it on the show, didn't we?
I know I told you.
It was on one of the episodes.
Yeah. Basically, he stayed next to Rodman, and he heard a lot of noise, a lot of racket next door, and turns out that it was just Dennis and Carmen getting it on.
Get it on.
Get it on.
Get it on. We have anybody for the Hall Financial Hotline today?
Oh, possibly. Great story out of Illinois.
Uh-huh.
A swingers club is fighting the stay-at-home order.
Oh, wow.
But here's the rub on it. They can still have swinger parties because if they don't charge the people, they're not a business. But Illinois is like, no, you are a business because you started as a business.
Wait, is someone really stopping their swinger parties, or are they just trying to make a thing?
Probably trying to make a thing, I would think. Let's see. So,
just sounds to me like such a... talk about a story that affects, you know, talk about TV for six.
The mayor took the club to court last year, claiming it was operating as an illegal business because they were taking money from the swingers. So then the pandemic hit. They're still having the parties. But here's my favorite line in the whole story. Timothy Geary is the name of the owner. And he said, the club's now closed. His son, Cameron Geary, lives at the property, which has a dance floor and 18 bedrooms. At the property, they're still hosting swinger parties. So this guy is living.
Oh, so it's more than six people.
He's living in the swinger party house his dad owns.
Oh, God. How old is his son?
Doesn't say.
Probably swings.
Oh,
dad and the kid are probably.
He lives in the swinger house. Of course he swings.
I wonder if he and the dad ever wear clothes. You're probably nude all the time in that house.
Well, thanks for knowing that your both parents are.
Well, that's really weird.
I just cracks me up that this kid is living there.
You run a business with your son. You couldn't even find another grown man to go into business with.
Hopefully, most of you have given David Hall a chance to take a look at what you're doing with your mortgage. David Hall and Hall Financial care about the community, and that's why the team at Hall Financial is working from home around the clock to help people save money by refinancing. And, you know, when things get kind of, it's not a bad time to lock in a good rate.
Or just find out.
You know, because who knows, you might be between or furloughed or something weird where they go, I don't know if we can do this right now because of blank.
And you don't want to end up saying,
I missed out, man.
You don't. I'll go back to that great note we got, which was sent to David, by the way, and he sent it to me, one of our listeners who is saving over $300 a month on his mortgage.
Cool. I mean, that's awesome.
Usually, you know, I hear people throw out figures, $150. I mean, people are delighted to save $150.
You're a genius.
That's, you know, it adds up over time. So if you have refinanced in the last year, that's telling you that if you did 2 years ago, you might be able to do better now.
I'm writing it down.
Now is the time to lower your monthly payments. Keep some extra money in your pockets as we go through these turbulent times. There's also the business of not having to make a payment for a couple months in a refi. Or if you're worried about coronavirus, do not, because homes can be appraised without someone setting foot inside your house. Appraisers are doing drive-by appraisals right now. So anyway, they've got 1,500 five-star reviews from Michigan homeowners. You can go to davidhallmortgage.com/DrewandMike. You go to our webpage, click the link, or you can call 248-308-5000 for Hall Financial. They are quick. They're an equal housing lender. Lower payments, better options, more personal attention. So is the Swinger House open for business to call?
Well, not open for business. Open for parties.
I mean, is there a phone number? Because I was talking about the Hall Financial House.
Yes, there is a number for it.
I see. Mm-hmm. Oh, why don't we just blow in a call?
Okay, let me find a song. By the way, there's a big article in the paper over the weekend about people buying houses through virtual tours and then just FaceTiming.
That.
That's kind of cool that it's still going on.
Hallelujah.
That's a good song for swingers.
Hoo-ah. Swinger song. Oh, wait. What about that stupid song? Swangin'.
What? Oh, you mean, is it this one?
It's so stupid. It's a country song, I think. Oh, okay. It's like a novelty song. Right? Swangin'.
Is it Swingin' Doors by Merle Haggard?
I don't think so.
No, we'll just go with
Merle Haggard was a pretty cool cat, though.
Would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeam.
Tom Petty, Swinger.
Tom Petty?
Wait, no, not Swinger. What song am I thinking of? Swingin'? Yeah, went down swinging.
Oh, wait.
Swinging. That's a great song. I love that song.
This one's not bad either.
Swing Town.
That one almost fits too perfect.
I was thinking Steve Miller Band, but I couldn't think of the song title. Can we play Tom Petty on the way out?
Sure.
It's funny, that song, I don't think I heard it till like a couple years ago, and I was like, what is this song? This sounds like it should have been a giant hit. What's the guy's name?
Cameron.
Cameron? Is that the son or the dad?
Son.
Okay, cool. Because I want to talk to son, but his dad's gone.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. The mailbox belonging to
Couple's Choice.
Hot.
Is full. Please.
It's full.
Are you still there? Goodbye.
Yeah. Hi.
Should we?
Oh. You want to swing?
We try back on the freak event that maybe.
Yeah, that it rang and he just didn't want to answer.
Pretty soon, I bet they'll all be swinging together.
Maybe Cameron's watching Dad jackhammer some stranger and just couldn't
or some
phone.
Stranger jackhammer mom. Which would you rather watch if it was your parents?
Oh, God. Oh, please.
Sounds like a Twitter poll, Brandon.
We got to lay down some ground rules. When we wind up working the same broad, no eye contact between the two of us.
Wait, what?
And they're going to encourage us to explore each other's bodies.
What?
And that's a hard no for me.
Brandon, what was the farts poll?
Your call has been forwarded to
Okay. Oh, well.
Oh, let me get the final results for the fart poll.
Yeah. Why isn't this a Tom Petty greatest hit? Does it sound like a perfect Tom Petty song?
I don't even know this song, do I?
But right off the bat, doesn't it sound like a Tom Petty song?
Yeah.
any single night.
What album is this on?
God, I don't know.
Oh, Echo, 1999.
While she was standing by the highway.
Fucking shit. Birds and silver
spurs. All right, after over 1,400 votes, 75.8% farts. Yes.
Okay. Somebody emailed in and acknowledged that I never realized I'm never going to win the fart fight. He's anti-fart.
Fart.
But he was suggesting that we have a fart-free zone. Did you get my email, Brandon?
Yeah, yeah. We were actually discussing some possibilities of how we can go ahead and manipulate this fart-free zone.
As long as he's willing to put his name on the fart-free zone, you know, like the Brandon McAfee fart-free zone, but not Brandon McAfee, of course. I don't have a problem with it.
Like the crystal porn alert?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but this would be the...
No, he could get credit with all his fart-hating friends.
Well, since we're in the fart zone right now, not the fart-free zone, did you see the video I sent you? I texted to you?
When did you send it?
Oh, thanks a lot. Before the show, because I knew you were upstairs watching stuff. I was on the YouTube, and Mr. Methane had a new one.
Oh, yeah!
Did you watch it?
No, I did not.
Would you like to hear it?
Sure. How long is it?
I'll just go
it's
to the
not like 20 minutes.
No, it's 8 minutes, but I'll just go to the highlight.
Okay,
it's
a graduation song.
It is.
That's so cool.
Because Haley can't have a commencement, so he's doing one.
Oh, the highlight though.
Could you? All right. Okay. Yeah. 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 Please, could you play us out with a bit of New York? New York. Well, I'll do that. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much. This is from Robert Hensley.
So Robert,
is he on the phone with Robert?
No, he's just reading an email. Oh, okay. I think because Methane will do.
He does custom
shout
farts.
Outs. Yeah, personalized fart video greetings.
I guess this is a bit of a pomp and circumstance. Let's put it on and rip it out. Let's do it.
You know, song man for every stinking graduation.
Such a great storyteller.
He actually still uses CDs.
I know, isn't
that
funny?
It's adorable. So now he's on his mat, his massage table.
You like karaoke, too. You like sing along with songs?
Plenty of volume. Plenty of volume. There we go.
Wow. The sphincter control is amazing on this.
It's kind of interesting to watch, you know, because where he positions his legs actually changes the tone.
Nobody knows their sphincter better than Methane. Hopefully somebody went and got a graduating family member, brought him in the room to listen to this.
Congratulations, everybody.
All together,
yeah.
Let's do it.
All together.
I want you to join in at home.
How?
There we go. Land of hope and glory. Mother of the three.
Gee, I can't wait till I go to high school.
And shall we exalt thee?
No, oh, I'd love to have a voice like that. What a voice.
Thank you.
Wouldn't you love to see a school swap out the song when graduation's coming?
I know.
Back,
or somebody
use that version.
Like the Oprah graduation speech. People be talking about that for years.
When is the Oprah graduation speech?
I don't know. And isn't somebody else doing it?
Oh, Miley Cyrus is involved. There's a whole list of people that are involved in it.
That reminds me, when we were finished on Thursday, I was reading the story after we finished the show about, you know, Ellen just got pounded on by this guy who had heard people telling stories about how rude she was to her help. And he was kind of joking. He said, I'll donate $2 to the, you know, whatever, the homeless charity, something.
By the way, he has not donated nearly as much because I don't think he thought he would ever get as many bad stories about her as he did.
Uh-oh. Well, he had 300, and they were pretty grisly. And then there was a story right around that time about how her employees are really pissed because they're screwing them because of coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I think the main point was that she makes $87 million a year. Couldn't she
be nice?
Maybe? And the amount of money, honestly, to keep these people out of furlough, it wasn't that much money. It was like she could guarantee these people employment for months and not even touch.
Yeah.
$86 million. I don't know. I just would think she would do that. She seems like the kind of person that would do that. So anyway, just as I was leaving, I had clicked on this story about a guy who had bodyguarded for her. And I guess this is the new thing, kind of like Me Too, is to tell shitty Ellen stories. and this guy's story was that he had bodyguarded for Ellen and that Portia DeRossi, her husband, her wife, and her mother were absolutely wonderful. You know, they would say hi, they would talk to them. I mean, and when a bodyguard considers someone being nice as in someone who addresses them and says hello, I mean, it's a pretty low standard. They don't really expect to be best friends, no, the
you
real
just
pros.
Treat them like people, though.
But he said that that they were really nice, genuinely nice people. Ellen, on the other hand, he said, never acknowledged him. Would not say hi to him, bye to him, thank you, nothing. And he said she never looked him in the eye. He had been told that, ugh, you know, don't look at Ellen, which is so weird.
You think how he is people... Dave Matthews?
But anyway, so he said that he found her to be incredibly rude. Stupid movie.
Maybe he was hoping to fall in love with her.
I've been enjoying watching stupid movies. I need to watch this movie.
I haven't seen this movie. Was there ever a Cliff Notes for it? It seems like it's ready made for Cliff Notes.
It is. No, you're right. We did In the Line of Fire. We could do a second Bodyguard song.
Make Me Spray was in the
yeah.
Great line.
There was somebody who called in the boner line begging for a Cliff Notes theater. About that Stephen Hawking movie. That way Hawk can be the star of his own Cliff Notes.
Oh, wow. That's a cool idea.
I like that idea.
Yeah. That would sound like an interesting movie, too.
I saw
and
it.
And since
the one
we
with,
talked about Larry Flint earlier, we'll play the people versus Larry Flint at the end of this episode.
I don't know.
Got a lot to play after the show, but not sure.
Not sure if I mentioned, but Larry looks fantastic.
Larry looks fantastic.
Yeah. Somebody's been working him out, or he's working out, or I don't know what, but he just looks like $1 million.
I don't know why Brandon hates my daughter so much.
Don't hate her at all. I'm just trying to fix some audio files because
it was
totally recorded.
Fine. I just listened to it again. Charlotte listened to her own podcast twice on Saturday. And I said, you shouldn't listen to it more than once. Take some notes and get better. That's what I told her. She goes, can we listen to it right now? I said, no, because I'm not listening to myself.
So I have a bunch of videos for you guys if you want to go down a little rabbit hole of what presented itself on the internet this weekend.
Bring it on.
For starters, leave it to our main man, G-Mac Cash, who you guys might remember. G-Mac.
Strike.
Some of you might remember it from the coronavirus song.
Ooh, bitch, you got coronavirus. Ooh, shit, you got coronavirus.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Great song. It was incredibly timely. Before that, we knew him from the GM strike.
We going on strike. We going on strike. For real.
For real?
We going on strike. For real. Till they get this shit right.
Oh, I'd love to have a voice like that. What a voice.
Now, our main man, G-Mac Cash, he has done us a favor and given us a new theme song for our governor, Gretchen Whitmer.
Wait a sec. I haven't heard this yet. Is it going to be positive or negative?
I think it was negative, wasn't it?
Was it? I honestly don't know.
Brandon, I didn't think that. To me, it was like a Matt Farley, Gretchen Whitmer song.
Yeah,
called.
It's not real serious.
Okay, I didn't know.
This is called Big Gretch.
That's a great name. on behalf of Detroit.
Primo Beats on the check.
Hey,
we want to present these buffs to our governor. Big Gretch.
Throw the buffs on her face,
cause that's Big Gretch.
We ain't even about to stress.
We got Big Gretch.
You can find her in the press
under Big Gretch.
Fresh in a new dress.
Yeah, that's Big Gretch.
Throw the buffs on her face,
cause that's Big Gretch.
We ain't even about to stress.
We got Big Gretch.
At all.
You can find her in the press
under Big Gretch.
Fresh in a new dress.
Yeah, that's Big Gretch.
Oh.
Yeah, I thought
it was at my funeral.
Maybe I just heard Big Gretch and I thought, I'm not sure she'd like being called Big Gretch.
Well, you know, if she likes it, she's going to end up doing a TikTok.
Send a thank you note.
And doing a I forgot about that.
Who
but
sends
she'll do a TikTok video too.
First of all, who sends Saturday Night Live a gift because they impersonated you?
No one.
But it wasn't on Saturday Night Live. It was not even on the show.
Sounds like someone's got a lot of time on her hands.
That's what I thought.
I thought it was pretty sick.
I thought Cecily Strong looked a lot like her. I think there's potential there, but... No.
Well, when she becomes the vice presidential candidate.
Oh, boy.
Like Cecily Strong. Here,
They made such a to-do... this is why I hate these stupid sports bets. If the city of Chicago wins, we're going to send them some Werner's, and if we win, they're going to send us a mock-up
pizza
of the John Hancock building. I mean, it's always, it's like, yeah, pizza. It's like, fuck. And then you have to watch the story when the person gets the thing, and it's like, nobody fucking cares. It's dumb.
So dumb.
And this thing with Gretchen Whitmer is like, this skit wasn't on TV. I don't even know why we're talking about it. Like, three people saw it, and then it's like...
she wants to talk about it.
No, I know she does. So then it's like, I don't drink Labatt's. I would have had this beer, which...
Yeah. Bells.
And then now we have to hear about the gift she sent her, and then we have to hear Cecily Strong's reaction to the gift she sent her. It's like, this is too much time out of my life.
And hers. Isn't she busy doing anything? Oh, that's right. She is busy doing national TV interviews all the time. Once again... pushing my theory forward even more that she is so gunning to be the vice presidential candidate.
Obviously.
I mean, who else is it going to be?
You know, I was going to wait. I don't know why I was going to wait, but I was going to wait. I felt like today, God, is there any way to just stay out of coronavirus, stay out of politics,
have
a whole full show of just nothing but silliness. But, do we have Gretchen? How long is her interview with Jake Tapper?
Is that the one where she – is that State of the Union? Is that what that is?
She just did an interview today, I think.
She's done so many that it's hard to keep track.
With Jake Tapper?
So many interviews. Well, and all of them with CNN.
It's with Jake Tapper. It's either today or yesterday.
Okay.
And the main point was that she believes Joe Biden over the woman that says that he assaulted her.
Tarried, yeah.
And it's really strange. I've given this a lot of thought over the weekend because there was a lot written about this topic. In fact, the New York Times addressed the fact that they
I want to turn down to former vice president.
They're being criticized for not doing the story, and they didn't do the story for 19 days. And I was stunned. I'm like, wait, you can't do the Julie Swetnick Kavanaugh's in line for gangbang story and not do this story. That's ridiculous. And in fact, they said that they were working on the story. They didn't want to do the story if it turned out to be like something came up
that was wrong.
Yeah, and it's like,
that's
wait,
wrong,
but
no.
Then did you correct the Julie Swetnick story?
Mm-hmm.
Because she corrected it, and not only that, once she was vetted, it was like, holy shit, this woman lies about so many things. And Michael Avenatti was the one that brought her forward and said, I've been through everything, and it's absolutely credible. It happened. What's his name? Kavanaugh was standing in gangbang lines at high school parties. And it's like, I
wonder if that's, is that because she was number three to come forward? It's like, pile on time.
But they were suggesting that
I'm not defending
have to be
it. I'm
vetted.
Just wondering. I'm just wondering if, is that why?
Because
the Kavanaugh stuff was so much, so fast. It's like, here's a new one.
I think there was so much, the hatred for Kavanaugh and what he stood for was so gigantic that once the floodgates opened, I don't think people cared.
That's kind of what I mean.
It's like they didn't even bother to vet it. They didn't, you know, the story about Julie Swetnick, and I looked it up because I was fascinated by it. The fact that they didn't do the story for 19 days, and their audience was fascinated by it too.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It wasn't just me. Anyway, the Julie Swetnick story, they did multiple stories on Julie Swetnick. I mean, I think when I Googled it, I got five or six stories to come up, and then, you know, it gives you more results. So they may have done 20 stories on her. I don't know. But they also did the story the day Michael Avenatti said, here's what I've got. They just went with it, as did the Washington Post and, you know, all the usual places. Here's what the New York Times audience was apeshit over. They felt that New York Times has done a 180 on the Me Too movement, that they don't believe this woman.
The failing New York Times.
And that unless she proves herself to be of some value or of, you know, to have a really good story, they're not going to print it.
Yeah, that's
and,
wrong.
And this is what the audience was saying. They were also suggesting that they did the story the day Bernie Sanders dropped out. That, in other words, once Bernie Sanders was out of the race, they felt like they could do the story and not hurt Joe Biden.
That's weak.
And, you know, I don't know what they did. Why? Neither I don't know one, why they did it.
Neither one of them was their choice. Wasn't their choice Warren and Klobuchar?
Yeah, it was a female, wasn't it?
It was both of them. I think they had as if that's a thing that you can pick two.
So anyway,
listen to women yelling. I tell them to shut up.
I thought it was interesting that the New York Times audience actually had a conspiracy theory that it was about Bernie Sanders and fucking with Bernie Sanders, that they didn't do the story. The New York Times had an interview with the editor because I guess they felt that people need to know why we did this and why we're right again. And in the story, in the interview, he revealed that when they did the story on Tara Reid, that they were going to word something a certain way about the previous victims, because there's six women before this who have said that Joe Biden did something to make them uncomfortable. Well, whether it was, you know,
I will say to that point in watching, and I know NBC News did a story on it that
20 minutes into the newscast.
The one from Saturday.
Oh, I didn't see Saturday's. No. Well, the story is actually kind of breaking now, which is fascinating because it is three weeks old.
We knew that was going to happen, though. We knew it would build momentum to that.
Well,
point.
It's
interesting though that they didn't want to be first, since everybody wants to be first.
You cannot not notice that this story was treated so cautiously.
But now they're clumping. And maybe they're making up for it. I don't know. But remember that lady?
Oh, no.
They're
not making up for it.
Oh, okay. I was just saying, remember that Biden accuser, the one in Nevada?
Yeah.
He smelled the hair?
Yeah.
Well, that's being equated to it. Not to sound like Matt Damon.
Oh, they're not nearly the same story.
No, I know. But
it's not even close.
That was the example they used, I want to say it was Saturday.
Matt Damon.
Well, in doing all this research on, you know, because I was fascinated, like, wait, how could Julie Swetnick just be whammo out there the day of and, you know, no vetting whatsoever and all this time is being taken with this one? So anyway, I start reading all this other stuff about Joe Biden. And I think because there were the six complaints and now there's Tara Reid. The New York Times audience in the comments was declaring her a nutcase and a Putin devotee.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, this is hilarious. We have a conspiracy theory about this girl now because she liked a Putin. There's a tweet or a cartoon or something that she liked.
Well, that gets even more ridiculous when you bring in the whole Chris Hayes angle to it. You know who Chris Hayes
is? Chris Hayes is on MSNBC.
Russia.
Chris Hayes brought up the story on Friday to say that this story should be covered. And here's her side. Here's his side. But this is really weird that this story is not out there because it deserves consideration. So immediately, the MSNBC audience goes apeshit and hashtag fire Chris Hayes for bringing it up.
I want to know.
Fire Chris Hayes. Oh, it was leading, trending on Twitter.
Is there part of you that wonders who started that hashtag and how it spread so quick?
Right.
Well, not really, because the MSNBC audience was...
The phony Russia hoax.
The audience was angry.
I understand that, but to get that big and be the number one trending thing...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. You like it had to be somebody important?
Well, either that or there were a lot of bots that decided to push this agenda forward.
Fire Chris Hayes?
Yeah.
Why would I don't know who would have? Well, okay, if we're going to shoot for conspiracy,
just like it happened. Well, I'm not shooting. Well, I'm just curious as to.
But who would want to bring Chris Hayes down for bringing it up? I don't know. I guess I don't even understand who would be operating this,
because it sows a lot of discord within that group, the MSNBC left group.
I don't think it sows discord. Noise. I think it's what the hashtag does is it
Mark,
makes other.
Are you
I
insinuating just find it that Russian hackers are pushing this to cause more strain between Republicans and Democrats on social media platforms?
I don't think it's outside of the realm of possibilities.
I think the hashtag
is a phony Russia hoax.
Well, if it's Russia, then I don't know what they're doing, because what they do when you when a hashtag yes. like that is trending, it says, oh boy, if you do this story, you're going to face unholy shit. So get away from the story.
Okay. I see it.
That's
more,
what,
more,
that's what, that's how I would chaos. View it. I mean, if it was a conspiracy, I would think it's from the left.
Okay.
But I thought it was, I just thought it was so funny that already there are conspiracy talking points
ridiculous.
About the girl that she's a Putin. I forgot the word. It was not devotee. It was another word.
A fan.
Yeah. I'm like, she's a fan. Like she loves Putin and therefore she's crazy.
She, what was the other one too? She never mentioned it in the filing.
Yeah, no, there's,
you know, we've seen that before. It's not always mentioned if it happens.
If you look up, and you know, I'm doing this out of my own brain. I'm not reading any talking points. If you look at the Christine Blasey Ford story when it came out, and this story when it came out, Christine Blasey Ford story, first of all, everyone was crazy to say that it happened or it didn't happen. Generally, depending on which political party you were in, which is pathetic. But that right away, there were all these people declaring her to be a fabulous witness, believable. She has to be heard. She has to be heard now. And also that she's so inspiring that I'm telling my story. I mean, it became this wonderful thing that Christine Blasey Ford had done for people to bring this to the public's attention. You know, mind you that it's Judge Kavanaugh who is pro-life, who's the person, and the event is when he was 17 years old. I mean, it's I generally don't like these old stories, whether it's Tara Reid 27 years ago. Although Biden's in his 40s, he's a U.S. senator, so it seems, I don't know, it seems to me like on the surface, it's a slightly better story, but I don't really like old stories. I don't like bringing people down on the basis of this happened 40 years ago. And in Kavanaugh's case, it was 36 years old. He was 17. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, I mean, I would think what they've done since 1993 or since 1982 would be pretty significant. But we have, instead of this business of, you know, oh, this Christmas, she's a wonderful person. She's a doctor and she's inspired me to tell my story. And, you know, all these wonderful stories. It's almost like it's the complete opposite that, She's a Judge Kavanaugh, you know, whatever she is, and she didn't do this, and we interviewed people in her office, and they don't remember it. It's like, you could interview a million people around sure. Blasey Ford who wouldn't remember it.
Well, I think,
who's to say that she would tell everyone in the office? She told two people in the office who they've talked to and have said, yeah, she told me about it when it happened.
I do think they're a little different because Kavanaugh was having the hearing, and it was scheduled, it was coming up, and yet I'm not disagreeing that people jumped all over, but I think the better comparison is Jessica Leeds, who was the first one to go after Trump during the election in October of 2016, and how did that story come out?
Jessica Leeds?
Yeah.
I don't even remember the story.
She was the first one. That was the one on the airplane.
Oh, who he felt her boobs.
70s. So it was a long
plane.
Time. This is why I think it's more comparable.
Well, but Me Too hadn't happened then.
When
we weren't in the middle of Me Too then.
When did Me Too? I don't even
2017?
But I think it's more comparable because that story broke in the New York Times because they interviewed her. So I think that makes their reaction to the whole thing look even worse because it's an old story. It's coming out during an election. And it's another candidate. I'm just saying that to me makes it look worse when they treat one
that's
way
right.
and treat the other one the other way.
What about the Inside Access
Kavanaugh.
Hollywood story, which was held?
Yeah, but,
they wanted to run
no,
it. In,
know,
they wanted to run
I,
it in October when it would have more impact.
I'm just sticking with the Times and
well, the New York Times doesn't decide everything. They may think they decide everything,
but
they don't.
But I'm curious as to why, you know, the way they covered Tara Reid, Tara not Tara Reid.
Well, there's no question. New York Times is being questioned extensively over this, and their answer was almost worse, because within the answer, and this is what many of the comments were about, they were going to word this part of the story a certain way, which referenced the what do they call it, smelling hair and, you know,
yeah.
whatever he did, the creepy shit he did, And they changed it, they said, because the Biden campaign thought it was misleading. And, oh, my God, when they said that, people were like, who runs it by the Biden campaign? Who cares what the Biden campaign thinks? And I even thought, are you fucking kidding me? The Biden campaign?
God, I found that hard to believe. They really changed the wording.
Read the story. That's what they said. That's what the he said. Where's the campaign?
That story? I don't see it.
It's the editor's interview.
That's horseshit. If that's the case,
it's the editor's interview about it. So anyway, it just seems so wildly divergent in the treatment. Anyway, I brought it up on Friday, and. You know, I don't mind discussing it. I just hate that it always creates this, you know, this visceral reaction to either people like Joe Biden or they don't like Joe Biden. So you can never make anyone happy. So I find these topics terribly annoying in full.
Sure.
But when we talked about it Friday, somebody posted something on Facebook like, what kind of a moron is Drew? He doesn't know why. Because I said, why is this? And it was a rhetorical question. I was saying, why is Tara Reid treated so differently? So anyway, I answered a couple of the responses in there, which were all over the map, too, probably depending on which political party you support or love. And at one point, someone said, you know how this works. You watch news because they give you what you like. And he was referring to CNN, The New York Times, sure. etc., and Fox, yeah. too. And I actually sat there thinking about it, like,
prime time.
You know what? You're kind of right. And while I don't like the term fake news, there's the selectivity about news is so bad right now. I mean, the vetting is.
Do you think that is just the talk show pundit idiots on both, like the Don Lemons, the Lauren, so you think it goes down to the reporting too?
Well, like this story has been virtually ignored.
Okay.
You know, I don't know because I can't say, but there's only a certain number of answers. One is that there's a conspiracy that the media is meeting and deciding not this story, which I don't believe. Or you can believe that they believe Joe Biden and they don't believe Tara Reid because she's a liar and he tells the truth. Or you can believe that there's a lot of bias in. I think actually, you know what? The one thing that doesn't enter into as a possible answer is. Trump. Maybe Trump is the answer, that Trump has been accused of so many terrible things with women, and there's Stormy Daniels, there's McDougal, that they just feel like it's not fair to do this to Joe. When Trump has done it 50 times more.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I can't answer that question, but there's just no denying that the story is being treated. And honestly, I thought when he said that, I don't think he was being facetious. He's like, hey, you watch the news because they give you what you like. You know, whether it's you watch Fox because they're not going to cover this.
No one said that. Who said that?
They're not going to cover this awful story as much. They're not going to talk about injecting disinfectants or whatever. And you watch this one because they're going to tell you that 50 times for 50 news cycles. And you're going to see Michael Avenatti night after night after night. Whatever it might be. And I think as simple as that answer is, I think there's a lot to that because more and more you find people who are only interviewed on Fox News, only on Fox News. There was one guy we interviewed who I remember actually said that, and he was surprised by it. And I was surprised by it too, because his book was really good. He was the guy who was the Secret Service guy.
Oh, yeah.
Who wrote the book on Hillary Clinton. And, he had said a few things that I had heard before that I thought were interesting. Her complete disrespect for the military and certain things and just a lot of I didn't think it was like a tell-all, a horrible book. But he did say, you know, yeah, she'd be incredibly rude. And she was kind of a snob and, you know, she treated the military poorly and, you know, on and on and on. Well, he was only on Fox News. The guy who said there was another guy the same week, and he mentioned it. The guy who said he had edited or written The Art of the Deal with Trump.
Yeah.
And he said that the book was completely fake.
He said he was a ghostwriter, yeah.
Yeah, he was and on. He was interviewed everywhere. He was everywhere but Fox News. And around that same time, this guy did his book, and he was only on Fox News.
Giving their listeners or their viewers what they want.
And
Schwartz.
I don't know that. That's really that uncommon. I think it happens a lot.
But that goes back to my question. Do you think it's more the punditry's entertainment type shows, or is it the reporting? Because I can find reports on both websites that are well written that I don't find to be too biased.
But they can, you know, the people who decide.
I mean, you know
what
you're
going to
get when you watch Don Lemon, Anderson Cooper.
I don't watch those shows, and I don't watch Chris Hayes on MSNBC.
Because you don't like the slant.
No,
or you know what you're going to get when you watch Tucker Carlson.
I don't really watch, you know, those type of shows at night. I
know, but they're audience.
I get too much of this shit. Yeah. And
the problem is those shows are what is creating a lot of the stories that are then reported on by the rest of the channel.
I don't think that,
but that's what makes the money are those shows.
They don't, there aren't that many people watching those shows.
No, but that's what I mean. They're creating what's the word you hate?
The zeitgeist?
No, not the dialogue.
Oh, the narrative.
The narrative. Those shows create the fucking narrative.
I think they do, but, you know, when you have a specific story like Tara Reid. And certain people, you know, Anderson Cooper interviewed Joe Biden and didn't ask him about it twice.
Yeah.
They did 7 interviews altogether, CNN's various personalities, and they never asked him about it. The first time he was asked about it was Saturday, and my understanding
what a great time to do it.
Yeah, Saturday it was morning.
Saturday or Friday morning?
Was it Friday morning?
With Minka?
Yeah, Mika on, what's the show again?
Morning Joe.
Morning Joe.
With her
and
husband.
Mika... the way I read that. A lot about it on, I guess it was Friday, and the way they described it was there is such a stench about this story not being talked about and Joe Biden not addressing it that it was like, okay, we're going to come on with Mika and she had, you know, bring it up and I'll answer questions about it.
Did you see them promoted on Twitter on MSNBC?
I didn't.
Yeah. Promoted it the night before, saying he's going to be on tomorrow morning to respond to the allegations. Like,
right.
That's kind of a...
Well, this is something that he basically...
Now he could sit there and think about it for 3 weeks.
He didn't want to talk about it, and nobody really cared to ask him about it for all that time. And then when he decides that, oh, God, this is starting to look really bad, so he does talk about it. And I thought, did you see the interview, by the way?
No, I just saw the highlights and the
story. He just kind of Bidened his way through.
Sure.
I don't know what to describe it.
What's he going
to
say?
I thought he was... It was okay.
No one said that. Who said that?
I could have almost scripted what he said. It's like,
yeah.
Well
someone
she
did.
She should be heard. And
someone did.
But the one thing that he couldn't answer and got fumbly was when Mika said how he responded to Christine Blasey Ford, that the essence of what she said is the truth and you have to believe her.
Yeah.
Or she wouldn't bother with it. And I have to be honest with you, when it comes to Christine Blasey Ford or Julie Swetnick or Tara Reid, I really wonder what is going on that they want to bring this up right now, because I feel like they just get brutalized.
Well,
it's such a pounding.
We
talked
about this.
It's like you're entering yourself into a fucking wildfire.
The Avenatti chick.
The shit storm.
The Avenatti chick is just a
fucking
idiot.
She wanted attention.
But when the Blasey Ford thing was going on, it really seemed like, if it happened or if it didn't, something happened to her and she didn't like it. And this is clearly the same with Tara Reid. Whatever it was bad enough, and who knows how history has changed
in her mind.
I'm not
saying I don't believe either one of them. I just think it takes a certain kind of person who says, I'm going to put myself out there right now.
My point being is they obviously feel very strong in their allegations.
Well, you know, that's what we want to think, and, you know, we're supposed to think. To be honest... In reading about both stories, it seems like Tara Reid told people who've been reached. Now, the left's complaint is, they won't use their names! Well, the reason they won't use their names is because they will get doxxed and they will get shit on to no end for supporting her, for saying that she told them something, or they'll try to find out that they're liars. Mm. I mean, this whole thing is just fucking madness. But, yeah.
See who did support Biden, though?
Gretchen Whitmer.
Trump
supported.
You didn't hear his comments on the whole Biden thing?
No, what did he say?
Oh, let me see if I can find it. I'll let him speak for himself there. It's pretty funny, and you can kind of see what he's saying. Well, here's Whitmer talking about it with Jake Tapper. He had that queued up.
And this is also quite different from the Christine Blasey Ford.
Turn now to former Vice President Joe Biden, who denied on Friday an allegation made by a former Senate staffer of his, Tara Reid, who says that he sexually assaulted her in the early 90s. You said that you believe Vice President Biden. I want to compare that to 2018 when you said you believed Dr. Christine Blasey Ford after she accused now Justice Brett Kavanaugh of assault. Kavanaugh also, like Biden, categorically denied that accusation. And Blasey Ford, to be honest, she did not have the contemporaneous accounts of her view of what happened that Tara Reid does. You have spoken movingly about how you're a survivor of assault yourself. Why do you believe Biden and not Kavanaugh? Are they not both entitled to the same presumption of innocence, regardless of their political views?
You know, Jake, as a survivor and as a feminist, I'll say this. Anything. We need to give people an opportunity to tell their story. But then we have a duty to vet it. And just because you're a survivor doesn't mean that every claim is equal. It means we give them the ability to make their case and the other side as well, and then to make a judgment that is informed. I have read a lot about this current allegation. I know Joe Biden, and I've watched his defense, and there's not a pattern that goes into this. And I think that for these reasons, I'm very comfortable that Joe Biden is who he says he is. He's and you know what? And that's all I'm going to say about it. I really resent the fact that every time a case comes up, all of us survivors have to weigh in. It is reopening wounds, and it is, take us at our word, ask us for our opinion, and let's move on.
That's not about.
Well,
it's not about survivors reacting.
Why didn't it reopen wounds when Christine Blasey Ford came out? Christine Blasey Ford came out and was like, "This is the most wonderful thing," and now I'm going to tell my story. And this enabled. She's so brave and wonderful. And now when Tariq comes out, she has to. It reopens old wounds, and she's a survivor. And I mean, it's just.
I just mean
the treatment of it is incredible. The hypocrisy is incredible. But it's all about Me Too. Is if you like the person who's accused, then you believe them. If you don't like the person who's accused, you believe the other person. That is pretty much what Me Too is all about.
That's why I still support Louis C.K. No. Oh, wait, he admitted to doing it. Damn it.
Yeah, people in entertainment are a little more complicated. But, I don't know. I think Alyssa Milano has turned this into pretty much of a joke.
Do you want to hear Trump's, what he said?
Yeah, sure.
So he's on the Dan Bongino podcast? I don't know.
With social media and through some other great friends.
What's his show,
you
right?
No, I agree.
I don't know.
Well, there was some breaking news this morning. The de facto Democrat nominee, Joe Biden, had to answer questions and finally broke his silence about these Tara Reid allegations of sexual assault. Mr. President, I thought you handled it.
What do you think Trump's going to say?
Well, it's very complicated because he's accused by 22 people.
Exactly. So it does make it a little
bit
about
it.
He also, statesmanlike yesterday,
yeah,
went through the ringer over,
what's
her name? Like any other American.
All of them.
We wish Stormy. That would happen to Republicans. Unfortunately, it doesn't because of the media. But he was asked by Mika over on MSNBC about records, University of Delaware records, and about a search of Ms. Reed's name in
just
those records.
Just let him talk, dude.
To see if there was, in fact, any information that would help in clearing this up. Should Joe Biden release those records, given that they've called for everything, including your, kindergarten report card?
Oh, he's got to say no, right?
I think it's only fair.
Well, with me, you see what goes on with me. I don't even know. I'm looking at pictures of people. I never even saw people. I mean, this is ridiculous. Every day, another one emerges. And, you talk about false accusations. So I understand that. And I could understand if he said it. I could also understand, I watched her, and she seems very credible. The mother was so credible. The mother was great. And I guess a friend of hers came out.
I'm Larry King.
The mother? It was...
The mother was on Larry King.
No, I know, but did you... I don't know. It was two sentences on Larry King.
Yeah, I don't know why he would deem the mother so... Well,
it's easier
someone,
to throw it out
if
there.
Someone actually wades through the business of calling into a live television show, you would have to believe she's sincere about it.
Oh, I don't doubt that she's
I mean,
sincere.
She's her mother, though. She's going to support her, but it does say
my point
that
being,
she,
it's not like she was cross-examined or asked tough questions
no,
by Larry
no,
King,
I
but
know.
If you throw it out there, well, it's her mom was very credible. And
but what was so important, or we were told was so important, was if someone tells someone at the time, and they can be reached,
sure,
and they say, yeah, she told me right after it happened, then they are credible, And she apparently told her mother, who was incensed enough that she called the Larry King show. Yeah. Now, this is very funny. On Fox News, they were talking about this Larry King thing when it came up. Mm. They played the audio, which is just shows Larry just cluelessly fumbling through the call. Yeah.
No, Larry.
It's just, I mean, I don't know what you're supposed to get out of it other than that she told her mother and her mother felt strong enough to call Larry King. Well, Fox News, you know, they play the clip, whatever. Anyway, on CNN yesterday, they were going through, maybe it was Mika. On Friday, but it was a discussion of the pro versus con. And when the mother comes up, you'll notice that they'll say it cannot be independently verified that it's the mother.
Whereas
Fox News doesn't say that. They don't know. I mean, she says it's her mother's voice, and a couple of her friends said, yeah, that's her mom. Her mother's passed away, so they can't
really
have her speak and verify that
they
it's
can't
her.
Ask
although,
her. Yeah.
Although she, I think she said that she has something of her mother saying something, so I guess it could be verified.
Come on, it is, right?
No,
my mother.
Well, why would it? I don't know how you could make something like that. I mean, that would be a huge coincidence because she said early on, she said something about her mother called the Larry King. Her mother even called the Larry King show, and then voila. How did somebody find this, by the way? Did they go through every fucking Larry King show?
Don't you think someone pointed him in the right direction? Although all his transcripts are out there.
Of this nonsense, false accusations, and they do it. They make it. The worst victim that I've ever seen before was a very high-quality human being, Brett Kavanaugh. There has never been, Dan, a case so vicious as that.
He really knows how to push the talking points.
They didn't want to hear
it. He's really good at
it. He was totally guilty, according to these very dishonest people. They're Democrats in all cases. There has never been anybody treated in the history of Congress as badly as Brett Kavanaugh. And he's an innocent man. And I look forward to the day, someday, they have to sue these women.
When he gets done talking, he does support Biden and fighting it, which, you know, doesn't he almost have to?
I don't know. Blasey Ford. It's a disgrace.
I don't know what I would expect you to do, honestly. I mean, I would never in a million years have guessed that his response to George Bush would have been that he didn't support him. I don't know. It's like, this is why I hate this topic, is because this tiniest thing can get blown out of proportion and honestly, with this topic, it's like, if they're in your political party, you want them to get due process,
of course,
and you believe them. And if they're not, then you don't care about due process and you believe the victim. It's just that simple. And
it's political bullshit.
It pretty much goes that way with Blasey Ford. 50 Republicans voted to confirm, 48 voted not to confirm. So the 48 Democrats believed Blasey Ford, believed that he raped or tried to rape her. What did he do?
Yeah.
Tried to rape her. She said she thought she was afraid she was going to be killed. She had her friend, though, she was with, remembered nothing of it. She had no corroboration whatsoever, did she? Blasey Ford?
I don't remember.
I don't think she did. But people believed her and were inspired by her, and I mean, on and on and on. And there were GoFundMes for her for a lot of money.
Second door.
And there were also a million stories about her poor kids. They had to go to a different school district, or they were staying with a friend, or I mean, it was on and on and on. That's why I can't believe people even wade into this stuff.
Along those lines, there's also been one mother who has had to take the safety of her children above all else because her ex-husband, who has sole custody of the children, is doing some crazy, crazy talking online. I don't know if you've ever heard of this guy named Alex Jones.
Yes.
Why is she popping? Why is she bumping up against me now? Why is she back up?
Because he's going to eat people.
What?
This is my ex-husband, Alex Jones. Graphically describing how he'll kill his neighbors and feed my kids. He's homicidal, terrifying. I lost my kids for tweeting about injustice. This is unjust to my children. It's a mom's worst nightmare. And then she attaches. She attaches this video.
Can I stop you for a second?
Yeah.
What in the world is up with this woman that she can't get at least half custody and her ex is Alex Jones?
Well, I got to tell you,
is it going on in her world?
His defense in that in the divorce trial was pretty good, saying that I'm just a character on my show. In other words, he just amps
and then he
it
denies it after he testifies. So he either lied under oath or he's lying all the time.
Well, exactly. That's character lying, though, on his show about it. And then he showed the clips. Did you when he was talking about it on his show? He's like, yeah, I'm a character. And then when he was defending himself against his own claims, then he showed all those clips of him like where he's actually for real playing a character.
Do you understand that? Well, tell all the parents really of funny. The dead children that
he's
a character.
Despicable. He's a despicable.
Give me a break.
Play the clip, though. This is why she's so upset.
I'm starting to think about having to eat my neighbors. You think I like sizing up my neighbor, how I'm going to haul him up by a chain and chop his ass up? I'll do it. But I'm literally looking at my neighbors now and going, I'm ready to hang them up and gut them and skin them and chop them up. You know what? I'm ready. My daughters aren't starving to death. I'll eat my neighbors. Well, my babies come into the equation. I will cook your ass up so fast. And I'll tell them, oh, I killed a cow out back, baby. Here it is, because my babies ain't going to die for your crap, your failure.
What is the
I will eat your leftist ass like corn on the cob.
Ooh, you're going to eat my
I'm
ass?
Ready.
He's going to eat someone's ass? Gross.
I'll barbecue your ass. Flat. I will eat you.
You know, I'm not an Alex
Jones
fan.
I'll drink your blood. You understand that? I will hang your ass up and cut you into cutlets like a filet mignon and grill your ass before I watch my daughters starve to death. You know,
yummy.
I'm gonna tell you something right now. I swear to God, if it's the last thing I do, I'm gonna get my hands around your throat.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say he's joking.
You think?
Yeah. What? I think so.
I'm really hope this is like at the end of a really long show and he's just running out of things to talk about.
Jesus.
a minute long rant on wanting to eat your neighbors. It's funny, though.
One of the better bits he's done, probably.
Yeah, not too bad. It back, Alex.
So here's another lovely topic. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to just break it up. I'm going to go to the.
More of Alaska? Is there more of Alaska to play?
No, I wish there was. There's an email about someone that we are very close to.
Uh-oh.
And it's from Joe Kay. Long email alert. And Joe Kay says that, I got a car from Maz in Zot Ford a while back and had a very stereotypical Maz experience.
Well, don't let that be a reflection on Zot Ford.
The listener,
bullshit.
The listener, yeah, get the drops ready. The listener and Drew talking about getting ghosted by Maz reminded me of it. I feel comfortable sharing the story now that he no longer works there or is regularly on your podcast. We can ask him about it.
Yeah, he's a friend. Have due process.
So Maz and I set up an appointment at noon to get together and lease a new car. I show up at noon and Maz is talking with a couple at his desk. No big deal. People randomly walk into dealerships all the time. Not his fault. My last name is... Oh.
I'm a racist.
His last name is
Kennedy. You butt out.
His last name is Kennedy. So as soon as we met, there was a, well, there, Mr. Kennedy, impersonation.
I'm a racist.
We're chuckling. Anyway, while I'm sitting there waiting for Maz, another dealer comes up and asks if she can help me. I explained to her I made an appointment for Maz and I'm waiting for him. Maz says, oh, she can help you get started and then I'll finish things up. So I start working with her. We literally do pretty much the whole process together. What I'm looking for, check out the lot, pick a car.
She sounds hot.
Bullshit. Test drive it. Now we're back at her desk finishing everything up when Maz comes over to ask, how's everything going? I tell him it's going good. And then he asks if I want to finish up the deal with him. I said, I feel kind of weird because she's been doing all the work and I don't want to screw her over on the commission.
Kind of admire his style, just a weasel on it at the very end.
I'll fuck you up.
That's a great weasel move.
I don't want to feel weird about Delilah doing all the work and her getting screwed over on the commission if I left and finished the deal with Maz. Maz said, we could split the commission, but it's up to you if I want to just finish the deal with her.
I'm sure she was cool with all
so
this.
So anyway, I was forced basically to make a decision and I chose to finish with her. In Maz's defense, he did apologize for not being able to help me and wasn't pressuring me to finish the deal with him. I just had to laugh because
all
the stories on your podcast, my one dealing with Maz completely verified everything that's been said about
mother effer. Everyone's going to hear about it that I blew another one.
Now, is it a little awkward to ask someone if the commission should be split? And
don't ask me.
Finished the deal with
Maz? Wait, did he ask him in front of her?
I think so, yeah. He was sitting at her desk.
How was she going with it?
No, she was in the middle. I don't think she said anything. This guy had to make the decision himself.
Well, that's
maybe we should call him and get more
data.
That's
fun putting your customer on.
I know. Why does this guy have to pick who gets commission and who gets half commission?
Next.
I thought Maz gave up all his commission. Right?
Apparently not this deal because it was the other salesperson's. So he wanted to get his half.
Yeah.
Wait, what is... Okay, serious question. What does Tom do in that situation? Anyway, he made an appointment with the guy, but he's got a customer in there. I'm serious. I don't know what the sales...
Well, now, wait a second. He made an appointment at noon.
Yeah.
The people just... They just came in and were sitting at his desk, or did he have an appointment with them, too? Well, if he had an appointment with them, too, then that's bullshit. Yeah. If they just came up and sat at his desk, then I would say, you know what? I have an appointment with Kennedy.
Next.
Yeah.
Well, then, Mr. Kennedy, get in here.
Got it.
Because he made an appointment with him. But here's what I think happened. I think these people walked in. They look like they're going to buy a car. So what if I go ahead and do this? If I send them packing and take my appointment, then I'm going to lose them.
Yeah.
Damn it.
I'll get them done, and then I'll run over and just wrap it up with Mr. Kennedy.
What have you done for me lately?
And I'll get two commissions instead of one.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Brandon, what do you think?
It's so good. So damn good.
Unbelievably brilliant.
Is that Maz logic?
It's so good. So damn good.
I think it's Maz logic.
I've always loved the fact that he will ask anybody for anything, including a commission, after they did all the work. Although he did make the schedule. He did schedule the meeting.
He's not afraid to ask for Ohio State tickets. I mean, that's the hardest ticket in the state the entire year.
You should have known my schedule. You should have checked for rescheduling.
I wanted to ask him, too, but I don't
know. If you got any Ohio State tickets laying around...
I don't know when the dates lined up, but I want to ask him next time we talk to him if he was on the sideline for the 2004 Michigan-Michigan State game, because I swear to God I thought I saw someone that looked just like him.
And really?
That was back in the good old days when the sideline and end zones were just jam-packed.
I'll tell you how, I know how you can tell. See if Kathy's standing next to him.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't bother pausing it and looking at it, but as it went by, I'm like, oh, my God, that might have been Tom. Yeah, I'm going to text him.
Yeah, we should ask. Then he adds, Robbie Robertson, the band is one of my favorite bands of all time. Robbie has rubbed me the wrong way. He's the king of it's not all about you, sweetheart. I haven't seen the documentary, but I watched the trailer. Bruce Springsteen said something like the band, or the ultimate example of a band, that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. Something seems to be lost on Robbie. Ooh, the comment that Robbie made about being the director and writing the parts for the other members just made me shake my head. I understand he wrote pretty much all the songs, but he'd be nothing without them, and they'd be nothing without him. That's why they were so great. I think it's very telling that other members were willing to reunite multiple times without him, and that Robbie's solo career never matched the heights he had with the band. Although he does have a few songs I like. And my criticizing you guys for the interview, I thought it was interesting. And I get it. Doesn't change my opinion of Robbie. As a side note, I'm a transplanted millennial, Brandon's age, living in Minneapolis now. It's nice to hear the show every day. It gives me a connection to what's happening back at home. Keep it stiff, Joe.
It's very nice.
Robbie was...
We love you, Joe!
Robbie has been... God, what's the word? He's been pretty much...
Maligned?
Maligned's a good word for it.
I don't know, maligned.
Completely maligned for all this time because Levon Helm felt he should have gotten some of the...
Give him his due!
That's horseshit. A piece of the publishing. Well, you know, I think if you watch a documentary, that maybe is a better way to examine it. On the first album, you have Richard Manuel and what's his name? Rick. Doing total blank. Rick Danko. Yeah, and those people are getting songwriting credits, and I think Levon had some credit on something. And then you know, as those guys, I think it's the third album when they're really the drugs are really flowing.
Yeah.
It was, nobody was writing anything. I don't think Robbie Robertson wanted to write every song. I think he had no choice.
Mm-hmm. He was working.
And so, you know, publishing, you could look at Mick Jagger and Keith Richards, who get the credit for all the Stone songs. Well, yeah, Charlie Watts, he drummed something. He probably came up with a lot of it. And I'll bet that Bill Wyman wrote a lot of bass lines, and I bet the Ox did too for The Who. But generally speaking, the melody and the words are considered, I mean, they just, that's the way it's been done. And this argument comes up over and over and over. And It's the person that writes the song who generally gets the publisher.
And that's where I grew up, and that's where I'm going to be.
Wasn't there a band recently we were talking about where everybody in the band got all the writing credit? They just split it evenly?
Yeah.
They became a problem.
Is it Korn?
God, who was that?
Fairly recently. We were just talking about it.
It's very unusual. And you know what? Nirvana did that, too. Kurt wanted everyone to get equal credit, and then Kurt changed his mind.
It was Nirvana,
Kurt changed his mind.
Probably would have met Courtney.
Maybe Queen during all that Queen stuff. You know, last year was the year of Queen. They had the movie.
Yes, it was Queen. The last album. They said, well, everybody's equal. Because they had, interesting thing about Queen is everybody in the band wrote at least one hit, I believe.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's true.
I do think Brian May is so underrated.
He is. He's great. But and I'm not like trying to say Robbie's right and they're all wrong, but you know after the fact, now he says nobody reached their previous heights. Well, the band without Robbie, they really struggled.
Yeah.
They really did, and I think over time they would not have if they could have stayed alive because it would have been more interest as time went on. And they had the voices, they had the three guys that sang the song, and what I thought was unfair. Okay, you can agree with Levon Helm and say. He helped, he drummed, and, you know, he sang, and he should have gotten something. But if Robbie had sang his own songs, Levon wouldn't have sung The Wait. He wouldn't have sung The Night They Drove Old Dixie Down. Those were Robbie's words.
Yep.
So he was, I mean, I think he was a team player, and they were a great team. But I think it's easy to say that about the one guy who was not an alcoholic or a drug addict, who did get up in the morning and write every day.
Oh, my God. Matt's just responded to me.
Okay.
First, I just said, I wrote to him. I said, hey, were you still at JR in 2004? I swear I saw you on the side of the Michigan State 3 overtime game. Just wondering. And he wrote, did you see this on Twitter? Someone saw me on this replay. And it's Maz right behind Illich
cool.
after one of the wings goes. And look at Maz weaseling on that picture. He looks
is
like
that the
Biden.
Famous one of Sergei Fedorov.
I don't know. It looks like well, no. Is it McCarty behind him? I see.
Yeah, there's a famous like picture it. Of Sergei Fedorov where Maz photobombs it.
Really?
Cool. Well, Maz
he
is
like
photobombing.
Biden about to smell Mr. Illich's hair.
He's totally photobombed Mr. Illich. And. What, look at Maz's glasses. Who does he look like there? It's driving me crazy. With the glasses?
It's very Kevin James-esque, maybe.
He's got Lennon glasses.
Yeah, God, he looks like somebody.
We'll have to put this
like?
At the bottom of the
crazy.
Post. That's really funny. But then he wrote, to answer my question, he wrote, I forgot. I was there so many different times. Oh, it could have been him.
How far in are we?
Oh, we're well 222, but we can't go without watching. Did you see the story? It looks like you did watch Channel 4 News last night. Did you watch it?
Which story?
Did you have it? The airplane story?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We got to play
it. It's incredible. It's absolutely unreal. Before you play it, I just want to mention again our new sponsor, ERSI, Emergency Response Services Incorporated. Southeast Michigan's fastest responders to your home or business water extraction drying needs. In addition to helping Metro Detroit with fire damage, storm damage, and mold removal. During these normal times, ERSI is also your trusted partner for COVID-19 disinfection treatments in your essentially open business or soon to open business or maybe even open business now. To learn more about them, call 877-JOB-DONE or visit 877-JOB-DONE.com. Tell them Drew sent you. Another promo code. You know, I can't tell you how nice it would be or how nice it would have been with all these basement problems I had to have this number on my refrigerator.
Hey.
I'm so glad we have a sponsor doing this.
Don't worry. You'll have another one any day soon, right?
I feel like we will.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
If you're an emergency plumber or work for a plumbing supply house in Southeast Michigan, call now for your free COVID-19 disinfection treatment in your workplace or work vehicle. How cool is that? 877-JOB-DONE or visit 877-JOB-DONE.com as Emergency Response Services Incorporated. You need them when you need them. You need them.
I don't know why that reminded me, but did you see the COVID-19 story? You know Pastor Tony Spell?
Oh, yeah. Tony?
Did you see how many people have donated their stimulus check for the coronavirus to him?
Oh, man. I'm going to be sick if I hear this number, but go ahead.
205.
That's not very many.
Why are you shitting me? I would have thought two would have been too
many. No, I know. I would hope that no one would. That means he got $200,000. I got to tell you, I'm so tired of these weasels, these weasel evangelists. Oh, God, it makes me mad.
I really wish I would have gone into televangelism or something. That's where the money's at.
I know, but I feel like they're...
Here's the Channel 4 story. It's a Spirit Airlines flight, of course. I mean...
Yeah, full.
I don't know why I even have to say it. It was full.
To the brim.
Yep.
Why is there a plane leaving Detroit that's full?
Was it to Detroit or was it from... I think it was L.A. Not that it matters. Why is it full
wherever it was. Yeah, why is it full? Where are these people? I want to know what is so important that all these people are going to.
It's a great question. I don't know.
First of all, she couldn't believe how packed her flight was home to Detroit this week. She was returning from a family commitment out in Los Angeles.
A family commitment in Los Angeles. I mean, that's pretty open-ended as to what that could have been. I still don't know why you would have to fly.
But that wasn't the worst part of her trip.
Have you seen this story, Brandon? Do you know what happens on this flight?
I don't, not at all.
Oh, boy. All right, buckle in. What were you thinking, by the way, you're about to say?
Well, a family commitment could just be, hey, I committed to my family that I'd go there.
Yeah, exactly. For vacation.
Right. A brawl broke out on board.
Oops.
Sean Lay shows us, and it was all caught on camera.
All right, since you haven't seen it, Brandon, I'm going to ask you, what do you think the fight was over?
A social distance, a cough, something like that.
That might make a little more sense, right?
Sure.
Okay.
This Macomb County mom was on this packed flight with her children. She says the video shows you everything you need to know that this truly was the flight from hell.
We were just in shock, really. We just couldn't even believe what's happening.
A Macomb County mom in the middle of chaos in the skies. This is a Spirit Airlines flight Thursday night from L.A. to Detroit.
What's he doing up there?
When a fight breaks out.
It was really scary, and I had my kids with me, so we were all just like, oh, my God.
What started as an argument between passengers, she says, turned into an assault. One passenger trying to sleep, saying other passengers were being too loud, and he was beaten, blood splattering all over.
So the fight broke out because the guy was trying to sleep, and everyone's on the fucking plane's being too loud.
Okay,
so who got beat up?
The guy sleeping.
That's what I thought. That makes even less sense.
Okay. Okay, I'm not going to do this, but I'll kind of do it. Are you kidding me? You think that people are going to shut up so you can sleep on a plane?
Has this guy ever been on a plane before?
I know. Really? I would expect if I was sitting there trying to sleep, and every time somebody opened their trap, hey, I'm trying to sleep!
No, I'm still sleeping.
I would expect to get the shit beat out of me eventually because people are talking on planes. Nobody's quiet on a plane.
He's a sleepy guy.
We're urging Spirit employees to help.
Everyone was like, why aren't you doing anything? And they're like, we don't get paid enough to deal with this.
The pilot's making an emergency
like Spirit
in Des Moines, Iowa for 2 hours. She says the culprits changed out of their bloody clothes when they landed.
They changed their clothes. First
smart move.
Before even Heady the
play.
Came on, they hurry up, ran on to the bathroom and changed their clothes because they had blood all over their clothes. Probably because they didn't want to be recognized.
She says passengers were shocked that the people involved were allowed to come back onto the flight. Local police say they didn't have jurisdiction to arrest anyone.
Meantime, the mom also Mile High Club
was so packed after she says Spirit told her that they would distance passengers due to coronavirus concerns.
They didn't even clean the blood. They didn't deboard. They didn't get us off the plane. We sat on the plane with no air. Everyone just baking and sucking in everyone's coronavirus.
On what we all just saw in the video about this incident. We'll let you know what
I
they
feel bad for that mom, but frankly, you're in Spirit. It's almost expected at this point.
I didn't know. Call me crazy. I thought that they had to go forward with some distance between the passengers.
What do you want them to do? Do you want them to do?
This is, this is the point I was trying to make Friday, and I think
you can't you can't make a business do anything. They're not babies.
I think this is why there's a little confusion maybe about what I was trying to say. What I was trying to say Friday was, Friday's show, that I think we're not doing a very good job here in America.
I think most people are.
Well, most people are, but if you look at, for example, remember when Italy was shut down?
Yeah,
the streets are empty.
Oh,
everything is empty. It's completely shut down. And their curve...
Forget about it!
Their curve went from being ahead of us by a week...
Talking linear or logarithmic?
It went from 7 days ahead of us. They're like 3 weeks ahead of us now. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a reason for it. First of all, we let out 600 prisoners with COVID. We did you hear about the other prison has 80% of the people have COVID?
I'm not surprised, but they just came out and said, you know what? Hotspots are not going to be cities anymore. They're prisons, nursing homes, meat packing plants, pork.
Oh, it'd be like beef. Prison food and pink.
Well, COVID.
I don't know if you saw, but there were huge, you know, the party in Chicago?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There have been many of them.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Many of them. I don't remember seeing stories like that about some of these other countries. I'm sure there were, but the mayor of Chicago actually had to come out and beg people to stop having these giant COVID parties.
Yeah. Man!
I mean, we're talking about 1,000 people, a house party with people jammed. And then
Harvey's still not over it.
No, Harvey's going to be angry tomorrow.
Which what makes me mad about that is that the only reason that's on TMZ is because, man, it was a great video.
It was good video. Yeah. And then, you know, for the mayor to have to beg people not to have giant parties, then Atlanta, there's video of this. It's like a fireworks slash drag race. People are just jammed all over. Did
My
you
favorite
have to
part
see?
Was the people lighting off the fireworks, because why not?
But look at all the people jammed up. And then
fun.
Huntington Beach in California.
Yeah.
Oh my God. People are just, I mean, this huge clump of people.
MC Hammer filmed it and tweeted it out.
MC Hammer's a narc.
And most people are mad.
Thousands.
That the beach is closed or that there's cops all over the place.
Yeah.
They're not really, they don't seem worried about coronavirus. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a fuddy-duddy and I'm too paranoid, but I feel like if we were gonna shut down, why didn't we shut the fuck down? I mean, if we really wanted to, because our curve
America,
is,
you can't do that.
No, I mean, while we were shut down, wouldn't it be nice if we really shut down? And when we open up, that we do a better job of it? Because yesterday,
well, how else do you suggest shutting down though? What else do you want shut down? When we really shut down?
When we were shut down.
Are you talking about Michigan or the country?
I'm talking about the whole country. Okay, we had planes leaving here, planes leaving there, planes coming in, planes going out. Those people all weren't going to essential things.
No.
I mean, there were a lot of people doing shit. And, you know, people having parties I don't know. You know, maybe I'm just being too paranoid because I want us to open up and I want it to be successful. But I'm just wondering if we're ever going to get down. I mean, I don't know how many deaths we had yesterday, but God, Thursday and Wednesday last week, the numbers were not good.
I don't know if you saw the interview with the pilot that tracked out FU with the arrow that pointed to the governor.
Yeah, I did. I saw it.
I mean, I thought he sounded pretty good in what he was saying, and you know he's an open carry or licensed gun owner, but he noticed that you know open carry is not going to help their argument right now.
No, I thought it was just really pretty logical. Stupid. I could not for the life of me understand what do those people not know how that's perceived?
No, I think they do. I think it's an intimidation kind of factor to it.
But then they're dismissed. They're dismissed.
I know.
People go, oh, these people are crazy.
Anyway, the guy said, he goes, I don't need the government to wipe my tushy every 2 minutes. Let me know what the problems are going to be and let me know what the ramifications.
Not a baby!
Let me know the ramifications. I'm responsible for myself.
I agree with him.
And why that, I do too, why that guy's responsible for himself. There are a lot of people that aren't and can be asymptomatic and spread it to other people.
I just think we have a lot more people like that than I would have thought. I guess I thought that there was something, maybe a pandemic, that would bring us all together and make us feel the same way that, hey, let's fucking do this right.
Never.
But you know what? It's political. It's, you know, a lot of people who like or don't like the president have to make a point by doing this or doing that or saying this about the other side. And so it seems like we have two different teams here. And last night, I was just getting a little crazy, and I thought, I'm just going to go in the car, and I'm just going to drive around a little bit, crank music, like Brandon does.
Sure.
Yeah.
Have you done it lately, Brandon?
Every single day.
What kind of music do you crank when you go out?
Actually, I like to catch up on podcasts, both ours, because of, you know, I want to check the quality, and then other ones like that I've missed. But when I do crank on the tunes, it's the Deftones, Rage Against the Machine, it's Sublime, it's Pink Floyd, it's the favorites.
What did, how was this, how'd the show sound?
Which show?
Our show.
Our show? Oh, I thought our show sounds good. Yeah. No, all things considering, I still hate my microphone, so I'm purchasing more equipment to try to make that.
I know one show he won't listen to. Charlotte podcast. He just hates her.
It's not true. I have a problem with whoever produced it because they produced a poorly sounding podcast.
I did, with limited technology. I think it sounded good.
Oh, it's produced from your house, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you want to hear a clip, Drew, and you tell me how bad it sounds?
I don't think I want to hear a clip.
What? Brandon, you hate her too?
From what I heard from Brandon, it's just not very good.
I can't believe you guys
That's
hate
not
her.
What I said. That was an incorrect statement.
I can't believe you guys hate her. Content's phenomenal.
How long is a clip?
However long you want it to be.
All right, play a clip. I'll tell you if it's good enough.
Don't be mean to her, man. Jeez. Let's see.
Just not sure what the target audience is for
what?
This show.
6-year-olds. Let's see. Here's a clip.
On Zoom for my show and tell is going to be those rock crystal gems. You pop them open with a special tool. There's a hammer and...
Fascinating, huh?
See, that quality's, boring.
Quality's not so bad.
I'm fascinated because I've never heard her talk so much in my life.
Wow. Daniel Tiger a lot. She's getting really
How
better.
How old is this kid?
See, it does get a little bad as we go on.
She's doing singing, a good job, though.
From Frozen, I was singing All Is Found, Frozen 2.
Is she the host of the show?
Of course.
I think she's doing a pretty
good
job.
What does the word foo mean?
Animals.
Did you know there is a band called the Foo Fighters? So the word foo actually is a...
See, what? Fascinating. You'll never know because Brandon hates my daughter so much. You'll never know if she knew that or not.
I liked her hosting skills, I have to say.
You won't believe what
she really took over that show.
She has intro music and everything. She picked the intro music out.
Really?
Yep. I told her it wasn't licensed.
I'm impressed.
Brandon hates her.
And I don't think that Charlotte knew about World War II pilots that were...
I know. She didn't.
That were called the Foo Fighters.
You know what? I wanted to mention this. We probably should go, but I just wanted to get this in because it's a big story right now, and it just gets older and older. And that was Sarah Rahal and Craig Mauger from Detroit News did a story about the armed protesters in the Michigan Capitol. Mm-hmm. And lawmakers, and this is just going to be another big fucking mess, lawmakers are now questioning the policy. You know, I got to tell you, I had no idea that you could just carry weapons, rifles, you know, whatever. Somebody said they had semi-automatic weapons. Now, I'm sure someone will argue and say, those weren't semi-automatic weapons. But I'm just saying, it was in the story. So,
I don't know.
Why would you want people who are really pissed carrying weapons? Now, nobody fired a gun.
Is that going to stop a criminal from bringing one in?
And someone said, yeah, does everyone get checked to make sure they can carry a weapon? Do we know that there were no felons there? I mean, is it?
I don't know.
This just seems like a bad idea to me. And they're in the gallery, they're armed, and they're livid at the people below them who are so unnerved by it. Some of them wearing bulletproof vests.
Yeah.
Is that a really good idea?
Probably not.
You know what I'd say? I just would say, I'm not going. Fuck it.
Oh, if you were a rep?
Yeah. Why would you, if you really were nervous?
It's your job, man. You got to go.
I don't understand. Why are the guns there? What's the point of having guns? There's plenty of security there.
Just to show.
There's tons of security there.
Show your freedom, your liberty, because the government, you're allowed to, because you're legally allowed to.
But we're talking about
take down tyranny.
We're talking
know.
About being unable to do other things, not that.
No, I've always said that really
if it was about guns, that's one thing.
It's really taking away from the argument.
I saw somewhere online that some people, and it might have been militia, had been brought there to protect the protesters. And
yeah.
Oh, give me a break. Nobody's going to hurt them. What? Really? Yeah. Really? Are we really worried? Are the protesters really worried that someone's going to hurt them?
I guess.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm sure somebody's going to say I'm a complete asshole, but I just thought they hurt their own cause.
They did.
And she was completely dismissive about them. And this is what sucks is people then will criticize that part of it, and the conversation never happens because she says that
Big Gretch.
Yeah, didn't Big Gretch say that? Was there a Nazi sign? Is that true? There was a Nazi sign there
on this past weekend. Yeah. No, but the
I thought she said that.
Well, she
she did say it, didn't she?
She did. So did she make that up? If she made that up, shame on her.
Shame. Shame on you.
And last time there was a Confederate flag, and of course everyone takes a picture of it. Mm-hmm. Everyone posts it. Everyone puts it in everything, and then it's all about a bunch of racists were out there when there was one Confederate flag.
Do you see who's been joining a lot of the protests around the country?
Who?
anti-vaxxers. They finally found a good cause to join on to.
Who are there? Who is the leadership? There's got to be some celebrity leadership here, isn't there?
No, it's funny. The one the New York Times did a big story about the failing New York Times.
Well, Robert Kennedy Jr., of course, he's very intense about.
Yeah,
it.
He's worried about Gates controlling all our health care in the world. That was the quote.
Oh boy!
I'll have to find it. I'll send it to you. The New York Times did a big story about the anti-vaxxers jumping on board. Of course, every one of them has a blog. You know, all the anti-vaxxers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. I don't know. Maybe that's attention for their blog.
And you know, it was pointed out in the story about the protest that you can't have signs, but you can have guns. You can't have a sign.
Why can't you have a sign?
I don't know. They don't let you. But you can have a gun.
See,
isn't that kind of silly?
Here's what's bullshit about this story. This is just the picture.
Where did these people get the time to make these signs?
It's the New York Times. Anti-vaccination activists are growing at force at virus protest. But here's the problem with this picture. This is in California.
Yeah.
Look at those police that have to maintain security there, not wearing masks.
I don't know.
I mean, that sucks for them doing their job.
I don't know why they're not wearing masks. Can everyone get a mask now?
We can make one.
Well, anyway.
Oh, did you see what the officially licensed mask that the MDN is selling?
Yeah, I did see that.
Did I not predict that or what?
And Shea Patterson signed with the Super Bowl champs.
Oh, yeah. The MDN is selling officially licensed Michigan masks.
Where do they get the masks?
They're making them themselves. They don't ship till June 1st, though. it's just so silly, though.
Well.
Michigan, we're a lot like Kiss in that we'll put the logo on anything.
Greta Thunberg, no one is presently polluting the environment, so she's trying to pick the best song of the century. That was her first little thing last week. Did you guys
see
that?
No.
Was
it ABBA?
Was that a joke?
Well, I thought someone just took a picture of Greta because she was holding a sign and then...
Oh, and put that on there?
Yeah, because the other thing is because she's now jumping on a lot of this COVID stuff, too.
Well,
the stories I've seen, she's donating $100,000.
Yeah, to the UN's Children's Agency Emergency Program to fight coronavirus. And
where'd Greta get $100K?
Well, that was my first question.
George Soros!
I know, she's 16. She's got $100,000 laying around. Really?
Yeah, apparently.
Anyway, this is a quote with a story. Like the climate, coronavirus is a child's rights crisis that will affect children now and in the long
You're
run.
You're failing us.
Especially the most vulnerable children. Join me in vital work to save children's lives.
Well,
children are the least affected by the coronavirus. The absolute least. What the fuck?
I don't know. This is not really a good fight for her to be picking. If anything, she should love coronavirus because of how much the environment's cleaned up.
Exactly.
She should be donating money to coronavirus to spread itself.
I was looking
at that. We will never forgive you.
I was trying to get an exact number on how many kids, like 14 and under, have died of coronavirus. Mm-hmm. I can't seem to get that number. It seems like it's in the single digits, maybe. Is that possible? Because they every time I read a story, it's about a compromised kid, a kid who has and then he gets coronavirus. But as far as just wiping out a healthy child, there aren't many cases.
Well, it doesn't wipe out. It's complications due to the coronavirus. You have to have something else.
But, I mean, in terms of dying and even having coronavirus, there just aren't many kids.
You know who will give us a great answer? The internet.
I didn't have much success finding a raw number because I wanted a raw number and I wanted to compare it to school shootings.
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, it seems like coronavirus affecting
children. How dare you?
It seems like coronavirus is affecting children just a little more than dementia. Just a little more. Not much. Just a little. And so this whole Greta Thunberg thing, I was like, why do I have to read this everywhere? Why is this on every news? Why? Children's rights. And by the way, what fucking rights? Children, don't they have a right for their parents to raise them and put them through school and, you know, are we really worried about children's rights and a right not to be trafficked and a right not to be, you know, to be treated?
They don't have any rights. They're children.
Change is coming whether you like it or not.
My mom said kids were supposed to be seen and not heard. That was about my only right was to be seen.
I don't know how she pulled that one off.
I don't either. Well done. I should sue her. I'll sue her estate. Where are my children's rights? And by the way, this amount, she gave $100,000 and they said $200,000 has been raised and they said they're getting a lot of commitments. And I'm like, I want a fucking forensic accountant to find out what in the hell, what are these children's rights in the corona? What is this being spent for? Where's this money going? I want a forensic accountant on it. Stat!
And I think the money that she donated is from prize money that she's won for being, you know, such a great activist.
Mm. Prize money?
I thought she I guess did it she's won a bunch of prizes because of all of her work against climate change. She's won cash prizes.
Who else entered? Prizes? Who else? I thought she did that because she loved the environment and she was angry at us.
Who else entered these contests?
I didn't realize she
I don't know. I just saw that that's where she's got that money from.
Drew, the CDC put out a report April 6th, coronavirus disease 2019 in children, February 12th through April 2nd, 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And among 345 pediatric cases, so those are cases, 3 deaths were reported among the pediatric cases, including this analysis. However, review of these cases is ongoing to confirm that COVID-19 complications caused
death. Okay, so that's
what I heard. Blah, 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 science.
So three deaths.
Is that the United States?
Yes, CDC for the United States.
Okay, 3 deaths. Now we know school shootings have killed way more than that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So 85% of people don't want to send their kids to school because they're afraid of their kids dying.
Yeah.
I mean, what is
that?
Well,
this is different. I mean, they can be a carrier so far that we know of.
I mean, I understand that there's been a lot of fear. There's been a lot of panic. But
I would like to know, like, how long a child carries it and then passes it along to how many people. Because kids pass on stuff all the time because they're kind of gross.
Yeah, they are.
Which is, you know, one of the fun things about kids is how gross they are.
Well, it's not easy. The problem is, and this is what, you know, I've read a lot about this because of Sweden. And the feeling was there that you're going to have a lot of one-parent earners as head of households as opposed to most of the families there are two-parent. Both parents have jobs.
Oh, in Sweden.
And they were just saying that part of the reason was they felt that kids from eighth grade and below, the risk was virtually nil. And if they were not in school, then somebody had to look after them.
Hmm, that's interesting.
So, I mean, that is a problem. Well, you know, people are home with their kids. They know what I'm talking about.
Don't we ever, man.
Speaking of Sweden, the World Health Organization, did you see they praised Sweden?
Yeah.
And said they are a model?
They are a model. They're the only ones doing it.
No, they meant a model as in that's what we're probably striving for is what Sweden is doing. Yeah, we're pretty close. But anyway, the unique thing about Sweden, though, is to me is not I'm happy for Sweden that it's working. And it's hopefully we do learn a lot from Sweden. And I would hope that it would work, because if Sweden doesn't work, you know, we're in a whole shit ton of trouble. But what's interesting is the media usually reveres Sweden, and there is so much shitty coverage. Every time I Google Sweden coronavirus, there's stories about, oh, they're expecting a big pilot. And it's just not true. They've done really well. They've done better than Michigan.
I find a lot of positive emails or posts and news stories.
Some people are in favor of what's going on in Sweden and like it. And a lot of doctors, too, believe in what Sweden is doing because of building antibodies. But
do you see who has antibodies?
Trust me, if you Google Sweden and put in a bad word like you know, death's mounting or something, you'll get tons of
stories.
Well,
yeah, if you put a bad word in, yeah.
Well, I'm telling you, if you just Google Sweden coronavirus, I swear to you, you will get shitty stories.
How come no one's talking about New Zealand?
What's going on in New Zealand?
Oh, they shut everything down the hardest and basically stopped the spread. But I think that's a little easier.
I thought Cambodia was.
They're on an island. Wouldn't it be easy if you're on an island?
Well, somebody's telling me about, God, I'm trying to remember why they were communicating with this person. Yeah, I think it had, I don't even remember. Anyway, they were talking to somebody on a small island, and I think it was a Caribbean island, and they are so shut down, they have to get permission from the local government to do anything besides get food.
Not on mercy.
And they're only allowed to do this once a week. And I think there's a day that, certain addresses do it and so on and so forth. It's very,
who's the guy that gets to decide,
strict.
Man? Who's the star chamber down there?
I know. They have one case on the entire island.
Well, that guy's going to be... That guy's going to be kicked off the island.
Well, he's no longer a case, I don't think.
Oh, he's dead?
Well, he...
Did he recover? Or is
he was being quarantined at the time.
They didn't vote him off the island?
Not Mark, yet. I didn't see that it was Madonna who has antibodies.
Madonna claims she has antibodies. And I'm wondering if she only claimed that because didn't she go to a huge party after that, Brandon? I thought
she
went
to a party.
She's
saying that, yeah, she went to Stephen Klein's party just after revealing that she has antibodies, and she says she just wants to get out there, you know? She wants to breathe in all the COVID air.
I think that was a setup because she knew she was going to this party, so she was just going to claim she had antibodies.
You want
to
hit the outro?
Sure, yeah.
Her daily diary is incredibly annoying.
Yeah. And Elon Musk had those comments, right? Last week. What happened to Tesla stock?
Yeah, wiped it out.
What?
What
didn't
did
wipe
it,
them out.
How
I think
much
it was
did it go down?
14%.
That's a lot.
No, 14 billion, 10%, but it's bounced up a little in after hours.
Oh, boy.
But that's got to be annoying if you own stock and just like, can you not say anything for a while, Musk?
Well, isn't that the second time he's done that?
Yeah.
But it bounces back.
Well, yeah, I'm wondering, is he ever going to catch up on those orders?
He'll get to it.
Have any of his ventilators been shipped?
Nah, he'll get to it.
Oh, did you see the guy who was I don't remember what he was doing. Anyway, he claimed that he went into the face mask business all of a sudden and sold all these giant orders.
Yeah. No,
and never delivered them. And got paid all this fucking money. I know. So many assholes. Well, you know, what I went to mention about my drive yesterday was Woodward Cruise people are out.
Oh, boy.
I'm not kidding you.
You mean not cruising, but watching?
There are people cruising.
Okay, that's
fine. And there are
fine.
People watching.
Cruising's and fine, watching.
The people watching were not giving a shit about social distancing. Just saying. I know it's weird because I see people clumped together. Oh, my God, look at that.
They're not babies. They can do what they want.
Okay. I just want it to work. That's all.
Sure.
It's not that hard. I'm not a baby.
This is Dying AFA.
See you tomorrow.
Chicken, I'm Larry Flint, and you look like you want me. Oh, yeah. Oh, finger licking good. Oh, yeah, you bitch.
Larry,
you chicken.
Larry Flint, it's your grandmother. Have you seen my chicken?
No, I don't know where she is, Grandma.
20 years later at the Hustler Club.
Hey, who's that new piece of ass on stage?
That's Althea.
Althea? Get your skanky ass over here, Althea.
Okay.
I think you and your tits are under 18.
So?
I got good news and bad news. I don't know if you can dance in my club anymore, but I do have a club you can sit on.
Oh, Larry. Oh, you're so rich. Oh, you have so much money.
No, you're too bad.
Oh,
slut. Get off me. I'm starting a magazine. Hey, guys.
Yeah?
You read Playboy and Penthouse, right?
Yeah.
Do you give a crap about these stupid articles about stereos?
No. Oh,
hey, man.
Would you rather see chicks completely nude spreading them?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hey, Larry, I got nude photos of Jackie Onassis.
I'll buy them. What you want for them?
$18,000? She's got quite a forest.
Hey, throw in Pat Boone's dick in a shoebox and you got a deal.
Deal!
1 week later...
Hey, Larry, thanks to Jackie O's forest, you're a millionaire. Will you marry me?
Can I still doink other chicks?
Of course, and so can I.
Yeah, all right, whatever.
Hey, Larry, you're under arrest for obscenity.
What? How can they arrest me for showing a woman's vagina? The vagina is as beautiful as her face.
Well, maybe, but look at her face.
Crap, honey. Where's my this court t-shirt?
Middle drawer between the vibrator and my syringes.
Months later in court.
You're obscene. First Amendment.
You're obscene.
First Amendment.
You're obscene. 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 Obscene.
Shut up. I have.
Larry Flint, guilty.
2 years later.
Hi, Larry. I'm President Carter's sister. I just wanted to introduce you to Jesus. Jesus, this is Larry.
Hello, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, I am born again.
Screw Jesus. My legs hurt.
Larry, are you okay? You sound like Dr. Detroit.
I've been shot, asshole. Get me a gold-plated wheelchair and lots of drugs.
1 year later, in Larry's bedroom.
Althea, do you want to go out?
No, I'd rather do heroin. Maybe when my sores heal.
1 year later.
Larry, you want to go out?
I don't know. I'd rather take pills, crap my pants, and accidentally OD.
1 year later.
Althea, do you want to go out?
I'd rather shoot some heroin. You feel like ODing on pills again?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, well, I've got AIDS, so I'm going to go take a bath.
Ah, whatever. God damn it, Althea, you're flooding the bedroom! Althea!
1 year later, back at Hustler.
Larry, we've got to go to court again.
What for? I've been in a fog.
Your ad parody suggesting Jerry Falwell had sex with his mom in an outhouse.
Yeah, so?
He's suing, Larry.
What for? I want a baby. Where's my American flag diaper?
Months later, in court with Jerry Falwell.
You defamed me and my saintly mother.
First Amendment.
You defamed me.
First Amendment.
You defamed me. You defamed me. You defamed me.
Hey, shut up, both of you. You defamed me. Hey, shut up. I said guilty. 6 months in jail.
Is that the best you can do?
All right, motherfucker, 12 months.
Well, how about this?
15 months.
2 years later, outside the Supreme Court.
Larry, it's your lawyer. I just beat Falwell in the Supreme Court.
So I'm not an obscene pig after all?
No, Larry, you're a great guy.
Good, good. Listen, I'd love to go on about what a great guy I am, but we got a best dump contest going on, a lot of entries to look at, a few snuff films to check out. Hold on a sec. Hang on, girls. Just get it on with each other. I'll be right with you. Yeah, that's it.
Larry!
There's your daddy.
Larry!
Yeah, just give this thing a little peck. Yeah, right
Larry?
There.
Roger Hodgson from Supertramp, who's upon us. Roger?
Yeah.
How you doing?
Good. Is this, who's this? Drew?
It's Drew and Mark. How are
Drew.
You?
Drew, hi, Mark.
Good. Hey, are you in the bathroom? Are you in a speakerphone? Or, yeah, are you in the bathroom? Sounds real echoey.
No, actually, I'm on my computer. I'm on Skype, so...
Oh. Huh.
Let me know, is it going to work or not?
It's a little shaky, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe I should just... Let me call you back on my phone.
Oh, okay. That'd be great.
Thanks, Roger.
Thank you.
All right. Call you right back.
Okay. Number one or number two?
Yeah, I don't think we could live with that.
He's on Skype. He's not fooling anyone.
Yeah, that was a little too echoey for Skype, wasn't it? I mean, did that make sense?
Roger, that's an interesting tile you got in your... where are you? In the living room?
Meanwhile, you're...
And he's trying to hide it the whole time.
Talking over it.
This is my kitchen. That's the tile.
Well, it's like the guy that took that... What's his name? Cheese Whiz, that took the big whiz. What was that guy's name? Cheese Nip.
Chief Neb.
Cheap Neb.
his real name was Nephew.
Oh, that's right.
Chief Neb.
It's one for the ages. Cheese Nip. I thought he said Cheese Nip when I asked him his name, but no. It was listed under F.U., which was his mother's name, was F.U.
Yeah.
Bring him up here.
Okay. Roger?
Yeah.
Hey, that's better.
Yeah.
Sounds is it good. Better?
Yeah.
I think you're still in the bathroom, but the phone line sounds better.
I'm not.
It's okay. Just kidding.
I'm really. Going to have to listen to that echo.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. How you doing?
I'm doing great, actually. You're my first of the day, so you're going to warm me up.
Oh, all right.
Cool. All right.